much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Well, that should do it.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Elvis had known as being, you know, the muscular guy, the guy that won the Mr. Universe contest, the guy that won the most world championships in bodybuilding, the guy that was known for having the most muscular body. Oh my God, did you see Schwarzenegger naked?
Wait, what?
Will Glenda be there?
How much was cut out of the movie? Or was everything kept in?
Wait, what?
And once again, the puppet will become the puppet master.
And now.
Why not, Bean? This is America!
Our feature presentation.
That was one of the most inspirational moments in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show, wasn't it?
It was.
Just came out of nowhere. It couldn't have been more organic. He was just so excited and so enthusiastic, and the crowd just jumped in on their own. That was a beautiful patriotic moment.
You just wouldn't hang that on Doto, would you?
No, you wouldn't expect him to bring it, that's for sure.
But he's always a surprise.
And he, by the way, is in Asia right now, Kevin DeBean. So who knows when we'll hear from him again. But
he's
over there doing some business with the old man, Kevin DeBean. So he'll be gone for a few weeks. Hey, Lisa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Bean?
How's Boner?
Boner has a little bald patch on the back of his butt near his tail. So he's got to go to the vet tomorrow. But you know what I did yesterday? I bought vet insurance.
Really? I've heard about that. I've never known anyone who's used it.
I got 4 pamphlets from the vet. I got emails from the ASPCA because they have someone they recommend. And after a $4,000 surgery, 3 months into having him, I decided that maybe this was the time.
So you pay, is it like regular insurance where you pay a certain amount per month or per year and then everything's covered?
Well, not everything, but most things. Like every policy is a little different. So in my case, it's 90%. Is covered after a $100 deductible, and it's like $20,000 max a year, which is, would you ever get to that? I can't imagine.
Not if you have a chihuahua. All you need is a bucket of water to take care of that kind of problem.
Oh, man, you don't even need a lake.
You just need a sink. That's all you need to end that problem. It gets to be that expensive. So.
And I don't think it covers regular checkups, but unlike some policies, it covers congenital defects of all sorts.
Isn't a bald spot, isn't that just he's rubbing on the carpet? Is that what's going on there?
No, he doesn't rub on the carpet. So, and it's kind of flaky. So maybe it's like the heartbreak of eczema. What is it? Eczema.
And psoriasis.
Psoriasis. That's it.
Yes. All right. Well, good. Good luck.
But
with
thanks
that.
For asking.
Beer Mug, how are you?
I am nervous about.
I don't care.
Oh, why? I was just starting.
His weigh-in. He's nervous about his weigh-in.
I don't want him to be nervous. I told him my guess is he's going to be down at least 15 pounds. So don't worry.
Yeah.
Anything less than that, he's a failure. But I think he's lost 15 in a week is what I think. That's my guess. I don't ordinarily do this, but here's I saw an interesting story, and then there was a news report on it, so I thought I'd just play some of that for you. This is I think you'll enjoy this one very much.
Police officers in Memphis heard something pretty hot and heavy over their radios. Apparently, a cop having sex in his squad car.
How about that with the radio on, ladies and gentlemen?
That's awesome.
Is that the best or what?
WTPY has more.
To make matters worse, the dirty deed is said to have happened while the officer was on duty.
It's time and a place for everything.
It's just a citizen on the street that they're interviewing about what she thinks about the cop having sex in the car on duty.
Okay. On the job is not it.
Officer Dion Anthony, who works the evening shift, got caught in the sexual act thanks to his radio that broadcast the whole thing. The police department says it won't release the recording yet because it's currently investigating the allegation.
Now, here's my question. Does that mean that they do have to release it? Is this one of those deals like a 911 tape where it's a police radio transmission, so it's covered by Freedom of Information Act? Is it something they're going to have to release?
I can't imagine. No.
I hope so.
But yes, right? We want that to happen.
But we don't usually hear those, do we?
Well, the police calls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think depending on the story, I think they have been, you know, requested before, and we've heard them on the news. Yeah.
Oh my
But can
gosh.
You can you just imagine? I mean, this guy not knowing what was heard, knowing that the possibility exists, this tape's coming out. not knowing how bad it is. Can you imagine what he's going through right now?
Not knowing what he sounds like during sex.
Exactly, yeah. And whoever he or she was with at the time, too. We you know, who knows how much of them is on the tape as well. Because right now, they're staying anonymous. They're staying out of it so far. It's just the cop who's in trouble because he was the one working.
Right.
So I don't know if the other person was a hooker or the other person was his wife or the other person was another cop. We have no idea yet. Oh. So. Good times.
WHBQ explains the unlucky broadcast.
Our sources say it was on an open channel that could be heard not only by the 30 to 35 officers working that precinct, but by anybody with a police scanner. Yeah.
The Daily Mail reports there are two radios that could have sent the sex scandal over the airwaves, a shoulder mic that's on officers at all times, and a console mic that stays in the squad car. A sergeant with the department says those radios record all communication.
There you go.
Oh, Bean, you have to stay on top of this story.
We have to hear this one,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Oh, my God.
And for those of us who always thought the people that sit at home listening to their police scanners are big fat losers, all of a sudden they win this one.
That's right.
Who would have ever thought something like that would happen? So,
love it.
Good times. All right. It is a Tuesday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's talk about today's all new program.
What? No.
Actually, you're going to like this one very much. My Strange Addiction is the show. We feature it from time to time. They have a new episode, Lisa, where they feature a woman who, well, she drinks her own pee.
What?
I like warm pee.
That's her. That's
no!
that's our girl.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with her?
Well, we're going to find out. That's coming up in about half an hour. So that happened.
Eat your breakfast now.
That's on TV, and that's a show that people watch.
I like warm pee. Oh, man.
Also, we've been meaning to get to this one for a couple of weeks. I think today is finally the day. Ralph did a story in the Showbiz Report about Sophia Bush and her boyfriend, Austin Nichols, who have been on and off again, apparently like a dozen times since they've been dating in the last 6 years. They always are in the news for breaking up.
Mm-hmm.
And then always in the news for getting back together, to which we say, at some point, just decide. You're either on or you're off. You're either supposed to be with that person or you're not. Doesn't it become a toxic situation at a certain level?
Love is hard, man.
I guess.
Sometimes it takes a few times to make it work. You got issues you got to work out.
But when there are 6 billion people in the world, if you've broken up with your girlfriend or boyfriend 5 times, maybe that's not the right match. Maybe there's a way. Maybe there's a person out there with whom it would be easier to have a relationship.
Maybe. Maybe not.
We'll find out. And let's see if that happens to anybody on this show, Beer Mug. Also, we'll talk to one of the actual doomsday preppers. He's one of the guys that's featured on that show who is preparing for the end of the world. We mm-hmm. have one of the most controversial rappers in the world, Tyler, the Creator, is on the program today. Okay. He, of course, from the Odd Future Collective. He's also got a new Adult Swim show that just looks like the craziest show you've ever seen called Loiter Squad. We'll talk to him next hour. Spartacus will be here on the program today. Lisa, I hope you dressed up.
Put on makeup. Already.
Liam McIntyre, he is Spartacus. That show is huge, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's man, okay.
Man, do chicks dig that show.
Yeah.
So he's going to be joining us today. And also, Andrew Siciliano is going to be joining us to talk about all the offseason news in the NFL. I mean, it's crazy. You think this would be the slow time right now, but everything that's going on with Peyton Manning yesterday and Tim Tebow and quarterback Matt Flynn and so much happening right now. We're going to catch up with Andrew on the program today and why I almost had a nervous breakdown in a customer service chat over the weekend. Ralph thinks it's my fault. All I'm trying to do is get a little goddamn service. But we will discuss all of that. Plus, we've got the Showbiz Beat coming up next right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ for a Tuesday. Once again today, Red Hot Chili Peppers in Red Square, Moscow.
Nah.
That's quite a trip, huh?
It's incredible to have Red Hot Chili Peppers in the land of Lenin. Nah.
Today at 9 a.m., I'm pretty sure Lenin was from Liverpool, Ralph. I don't know where you get your information.
Not John Lennon. Valentin Lennon.
9 a.m. is when you can win this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Red Hot Chili Pepper tickets.
Capitalist pig dog.
That was stupid.
And then you're eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Friday to send you to Russia. That happens all day long.
Glorious Mother Russia demands you put him in file for that.
3, 6, and 9. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I do have some lovely tickets to give away. Big, big winner. How would you like to go to Las Vegas?
Always.
I haven't been in a while. I'm kind of getting the itch. The more I talk about this prize we're giving away, the more I want to go. It is a 3-day, 2-night trip to the Ultimate Tropicana Transformation Party in Las Vegas, April 17th through the 19th. Here's what they're celebrating. Tropicana has completely redone their hotel and casino. It's quite impressive, too. I stayed there just recently. They hadn't fully completed the renovations yet, but it's a brand new joint, and they've got great restaurants and great nightclubs, everything you want in Vegas. And to celebrate, Tropicana is throwing this ultimate Tropicana transformation party from April 17th through the 19th. If you'd like to go, I only have one winner to give away today, but I'll give away a winner each day this week. If you'd like to go, call our number 21 right now at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. And if you are lucky enough to win, you'll be spending 3 days and two nights at the Tropicana in Las Vegas. For more information and about the hotel, and if you want to check it out yourself, you can go to TRPLV, TRP for Trop, LV for Las Vegas.com, and get yourself to Vegas. Let's go now.
Good advice.
Just leave, Lisa. You and me, Vegas.
Let's do it.
Road trip. Woo! You know all the good traffic things. We can get there fast.
If Dave drives, you guys can be there by the end of the show.
I get there about an hour and 20 minutes in a Sebring. All right. It's all about babies. Celebrities just want to have babies. That's all they care about anymore. Josh Lucas.
Oh, yeah.
Star of Sweet Home Alabama and other feature films.
I think he's in The Firm now.
That's right. He's in the series The Firm. It's currently on. He just tied the knot, and the woman he is marrying is named Jessica. No one seems to know her last name. And she's already carrying his first child, so.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Hurry up.
Hurry up and get married before that baby comes. Ty Burrell of Modern Family, who's just so good on that show. He and his wife, Holly, have just happily adopted a baby girl who will get a lot of guidance from her big sister, Frances. They've already got one girl, and now they've got another. Congratulations to those guys. It's all about babies.
You're right.
Have more babies. That's what I tell everyone that I know. Viola Davis from The Help. She just adopted a baby girl named Genesis.
Oh.
And here's an interesting story behind this. They adopted Genesis from a drug-addicted prostitute.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was a high-risk baby, and the woman obviously wasn't going to get custody, so they adopted her.
That is great.
It really is. Apparently, the mystery woman is pregnant again. And Viola says if she loses custody again, she'd be happy to take the next little bundle of joy.
And then
her
can
hands
we,
as well.
Like, I don't know, put a patch in her arm or something?
Yeah.
Or
her
something.
Arm's not where she needs the patch, apparently. I think she needs a patch someplace else on her body to keep things from.
Doesn't it seem like of all the people in the world who would be pretty diligent about their birth control, it would be prostitutes?
Not drug addicted prostitutes.
Yeah, I don't think they're thinking so clearly.
They're not getting choices. Their meals regularly, much less their pills.
Yeah. Have you heard about this smoking hot swimsuit model, penthouse model, who's the kingpin of an international drug ring?
No.
Yes. Is she something else or what?
When is this movie going to be made? This is like greatest idea for a film ever.
She was a penthouse pet, right?
Penthouse pet, a bathing suit model named Simone Farrow, 37 years old. She is the mastermind behind an international crystal meth ring, allegedly.
Whoa.
She's been on the run since February.
And if you've seen the photos of her, her arrest photos, Ralph, I believe she was not only distributing meth, she was using.
Yeah, she's
she
lost
rough.
Lost some luster since her days as a penthouse pet and swimsuit model. You see the old pictures of her compared to the arrest photos. It's not a pretty picture.
That's a don't do drugs photo shoot.
Don't do drugs.
Exactly. Yeah.
Especially if you're a hot chick. If you're an ugly chick, you can do all the drugs you want. You're not really losing much. But if you're a hot chick, hold on to hot as long
if
as you can.
If you like your teeth.
That's right. You need your teeth.
You're right, though. Make that a movie now.
Yeah. She fled California because she was facing charges. And so she went to Australia.
Hmm.
She was busted in a hotel on Australia's Gold Coast and was extradited to Sydney. As she told reporters, she really wasn't trying to flee the country when she left America. No, of course you weren't.
Is this vacation?
She was just trying to keep from getting murdered, she says.
Oh, my God.
Fascinating story. She used about 19 different aliases and used to ship and hide the crystal meth in packages of bath salts.
Well, there you go. That's smart.
I'm going to start snorting bath salts. You never know what you find in there. So
I think people do snort bath
fascinating.
Salts.
Yeah, that's right. We did a story about that, didn't we? George Clooney.
Guilty.
He's not. Well, he was guilty.
Yeah, that's true.
That little problem he had with the Sudanese. But his girlfriend, Stacey Keibler, may be spending less time with George and more time at work. New York Post reports she's in talks to be a host on The X Factor.
Oh, she would be good.
She would be good. She's very charismatic, very articulate, very funny and sweet, and she looks fantastic on camera, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So apparently they're in negotiations. Meanwhile, Britney Spears' name is still in the ring. Apparently they're renegotiating. Rumor has it that she wanted, I don't know, something ridiculous, $20 million for a season. They were offering her 10, I think.
Yeah.
People around Britney are trying to convince her that this would be an excellent opportunity for her to sort of reinvent herself and get her image back. So they say she's still in the mix.
It seems like for her personally, being here doing that would be better than doing shows in Vegas.
Yeah, I agree. Because next thing you know, she's at the Tropicana hanging from the ceiling.
There you
getting married.
Yep.
Donald Trump has already spoken out on the cancellation of Rosie O'Donnell's show on the Oprah Winfrey Network. Donald, not a particular fan of Rosie's. The announcement came on Friday. Rosie's final episode is taping today. Upon hearing the announcement, Donald tweeted yesterday, Rosie O'Donnell has failed again. Her ratings were abysmal, and Oprah canceled her on Friday night. When will media executives learn that Rosie just hasn't got it?
Thank you, Donald. We needed that from you.
Well, it wasn't all. He later went on Fox and Friends.
Oh, my God.
To continue his tirade, saying Rosie fails at everything. Some moron will come along and hire her again to do something else that will fail. At some point, let her rest. Let her go away.
Boy, he hates her.
He really hates her. And by
You don't know, man.
By the way, so does her staff, apparently.
Really?
If you read the DailyBeast.com, they talk to some of the staff members. And one of them described as working for Rosie as an effing hellhole. Apparently, Rosie yelled at her publicist in front of the studio audience once, called out the director of her show once in front of the audience, berated her band leader for not knowing obscure Broadway tunes at the drop of a hat.
Oh, my God.
Everyone connected with it says they're not upset that the show has been canceled and everyone is moving on.
I heard the viewers hated her.
Yeah.
They fired like 20 people at OWN yesterday.
Oh, really? Heads rolled?
Including a couple of high-level, yeah.
Someone who hired Rosie?
Yeah, they've got that Harpo Studios there that they used for Oprah's show, and then they segued it into Rosie's show, and now neither one of them are being produced, so they don't have much for those people to do.
Yeah.
And if you want to give your tribute to the Muppets, they're getting their own star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning, around 11:30, right by the El Capitan Theater. The Muppets will be getting their star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Kermit and Miss Piggy will be down there.
Speaking of stars, Ralph, how about an update on Mr. West? What's going on with that?
We are we are close to announcing the date he'll be getting his star. It will be very, very soon.
Okay. But, will the star happen this year?
Oh, yes.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
It's going to happen not too distant future. And when it does, we'll be talking about it and telling you how you can come out. We'd love to get a big crowd out there for it.
Absolutely.
I can announce that Adam has honored me with asking me to speak at the ceremony.
Oh, my gosh.
Nice.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so I will be down there and helping to honor him and to present him with the star. But we don't have an exact date yet, but when we do, we'll absolutely talk about it, and we'll get everybody to come out and have a good time. It is Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are in stores today. Speaking of the Muppets, their movie starring Amy Adams and Jason Segel is available on DVD today. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo with Daniel Craig and Rooney Mara. Also available today. Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy with Gary Oldman and Colin Firth.
Nice.
The Sitter with Jonah Hill and Sam Rockwell. Also great. Available on DVD today. New CDs. Port of Morrow by The Shins.
Can't wait.
The Hunger Games soundtrack. Songs from District 12 and Beyond, it's called.
Can't wait.
Various artists like Arcade Fire and Taylor Swift and Kid Cudi and more. Also available today. So you can check those all out. Today's celebrity birthdays. Spike Lee is 55 years old today. Holly Hunter turns 54. Kathy Ireland.
Yeah.
Who Forbes magazine has named the richest supermodel.
Unbelievable.
Her line of clothing and furnishings are massive.
Little quiet Kathy Ireland.
And a little Kathy, 49 years old. Michael Rapaport, very talented actor, is 42 years old. Alex Kapranos from Franz Ferdinand is 40 years old. Cedric Yarbrough from Reno 911 turns 39. Chester Bennington, our buddy from Linkin Park, is 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
All right, are you guys ready for the worst thing you've ever heard?
No, and I don't even know why we're doing it. I don't understand this.
Well, it's gross but fascinating.
Not.
People are
exactly.
Bizarre.
It's gross
but fascinating.
Well,
let's just say this woman's honked up and move on.
But, no, but the way that she's honked up, Ralph.
Lisa,
and it's so much
you
more
of
than,
all people, I was expecting some modicum of decency.
I read a little more about it, and now we must talk about this.
The show is called My Strange Addiction. We've talked about it from time to time. It airs Sunday nights on TLC, and they feature the woman who's addicted to cleaning her ears. They have the guy who collects roadkill. They've featured him. our little girlfriend Shayla Ralph, who you remember from Houston, who's addicted to breast enlargements.
Yes.
She was featured on My Strange Addiction.
All those fascinating, interesting stories. Let's talk about those people.
What about Carrie, though? And all girls that I know named Carrie make questionable choices.
But how dare you, sir?
Carrie, who says this?
I like warm pee.
What about her?
Come on. Already now I'm out.
Now,
good morning.
When she
good
says that.
Good morning. Fabulous. Outstanding. Wonderful. Terrific. Good morning. Good morning. Yeah.
Yes, Lisa, morning. Go ahead.
Your
dude.
First thought is what?
Well, my first thought is because I know the story is, or my first thought is already bad.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's see what Carrie's doing with her warm pants.
Yeah,
my name is Carrie. I've been addicted to drinking my urine for over 4 years.
Come on.
At that point, are you already looking for the TV remote?
Is yes. That what's
happening here? But how can you not want to know why? Or
don't
how?
Care.
Really?
Yeah.
I care.
Don't need it.
How
no.
much does she drink?
Well, that's a
who
great question.
Cares?
Carrie has consumed over 900 gallons of urine since her addiction began.
Come on.
Over 900 gallons.
You know, at least if it's a shot glass or if it's a gallon jug, it's too much. That's all you need to know. Here's
all?
Your answer. How much does she drink? Too much.
Does
that's
she drink all? Does she let any get flushed away?
Don't care. Again.
The show is perfect for Lisa because they answer all of those questions.
But drinking out of a glass isn't the only way Carrie gets her fix.
Uh-oh.
This is a neti pot. I use it for nasal drinking.
Okay, tell folks what a neti pot is, Lisa.
Well, sometimes when you're congested, you put warm water and usually saline into this plastic squeeze bottle, and mm-hmm. then you put it up one side of your nose, and it goes through your sinuses and out the other side, so it kind of clears it all out, and then you do it on the other side.
Yes.
But apparently she's not using... She's
saline,
not using
right.
saline.
They actually show Carrie in her bathtub with the neti pot up to her nose. And yeah, that's what she's
kind of tricky. You gotta do it just right.
Yeah, you gotta do it just right.
And breathe at the same time while you're just putting a little teeny bit in there and swallowing at the same time.
Come on!
When you're nasal drinking, the pain is different than any pain.
Okay, why is there pain, by the way? What's that about?
That's your what? Body's ways of saying you stop effing doing that thing you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not using saline, if you're using something else, I think that's where the pain comes from.
Well, it took her a while to get used to the pee, but now I think she enjoys it.
Most people in Carrie's life don't know about her unusual addiction. Today, she's finally ready to tell her friend Denise what she does behind closed doors.
So they bring in her friend, and she doesn't know why she's there, and they sit down at the kitchen table, and they're filming the moment when she reveals what she's been doing
all this
time. I
hope her friend is armed.
I'm kind of nervous a little bit. You feel naked and vulnerable because there's so much judgment that goes on.
There are people who are judgmental about her hobby of
yes.
drinking her own urine, Ralph.
Yeah, and rightly
you have to
so.
Be honest. You got to be honest. Is that people do tend to look down on her just because she's a little bit different, right?
Because she's snorting her own urine? Yeah, yeah.
It's taboo.
It's taboo.
It's not taboo. It's gross.
I had a dream.
Okay, now she's a little bit tough to make out here, and I don't
what
know.
What is her deal? She's not. That's not her only problem, is her urine, by the way.
I don't know why she sounds like she's been beat up and left for dead. But she's, if you listen closely, she is explaining to her friend what's been going on. She's talking about how she does a weird thing that she needs to confess.
Well, I had a dream.
I had a dream.
Okay. And I've been doing something.
I've been doing something.
Kind of addictive.
Kind of addictive.
Ever since.
Ever since. Okay.
Okay.
Friend is sitting there going, what's up?
I drink almost all the urine that comes out of my body.
Long reaction shot. Now, what do you suppose the first question from her friend is going to be when she's just been told that her friend drinks her own pee?
Where's the door?
I was surprised that this is the question. My question would be why? That would be the first thing that would come to mind for me is why? Her friend says...
All of it.
All of it?
Almost all. Well, it tastes like water to me.
Really?
After 4 years.
Oh, so you've been doing that 4 years?
All day, every day.
Hmm. All day, every day. 4 years.
I drink it through my eyes.
Come on! What do you mean she drinks it through her eyes?
She washes her eyes out with it.
That's not drinking. You're not drinking through your eyes.
Well, she drinks it out of
this
a glass.
This woman has a drinking problem.
Yes,
first of all,
does.
She drinks urine. Second of all, she doesn't understand how drinking works.
Oh, my God, no way.
What else does she do with it, Bean?
She drinks it through in a glass, and then she has the neti pot, and now she's putting it through her eyes, and she explains why and how.
I drink it through my eyes.
Like an eyedropper.
It's a little cup I use called an eye cup. Only I put urine in there and try and keep it open for like 5 minutes.
Oh,
and I brush my teeth with it.
Oh, she brushes her teeth with urine.
Don't.
Is what she does.
Aren't you really? Isn't?
Do you need toothpaste if you brush your teeth with it, or does it just do the job by itself?
First of all, Lisa, I'm disturbed by your glee in this story. And second of all, aren't you really just acting against the purpose of brushing your teeth if you're using urine?
Well, and you're also acting against the
your breath smells like pee at this point. You really don't smell like you've brushed your teeth.
I don't think she has many dates, so it's probably not a big deal.
Seems to be home a lot. And the other thing is you're acting against is your body telling you, hey, this is waste material. Yeah. We're expelling this because it's not needed. If you then put it back in, I don't see how that can possibly be good for you. Now, I didn't see the whole show, so I don't know if at some point they talk to a doctor about what the repercussions are going to be of drinking your own pee, but she does go on to talk about other things she does.
And I brush my teeth with it, mm-hmm. and I rub it the old, like save it for a week or two, or
and
I rub the aged stuff on my skin.
I was going to throw up.
Oh, aged stuff. Oh, she gets the fine vintage pee and makes sure that's saved for her skin.
Right.
Because that's who you don't want to sit next to on a bus.
How do you decide as you're walking out of the toilet whether you're going to go ahead and drink it now or you're going to save it for a week and put it on your skin? A lot of tough choices going on in this woman's life.
Some you set aside like wine.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. You know, the stuff with the better color and the better fragrance and the bouquet, you know, you want to bottle that up.
I'm not even going to play the part of the show where she talks about how she's had to change her diet because some things don't taste as good the second time around.
Oh.
So now there's some foods she doesn't eat. But here's a little bit more with Carrie, and then we'll move on.
Would you want to watch me drink it?
I don't think I want to watch you drink it.
Good
I mean,
for you, madam.
Tell me anything you want about it, but, you know, I don't know that I need to watch you drink it.
That's not...
I mean, I don't. If you think that's necessary, I suppose I could survive it.
Yeah, I think she's wise to probably step out. So, ladies and gentlemen,
how does she even have a friend? Really?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's her professional care worker. Or
that could be.
I got a sense that this woman's employed by someone.
She's making all the right noises.
Yeah, right. Jeez, no, I don't need to see that. We need to go back to the arboretum now and put you in the sun.
Oh, my man. Strange Addiction is the show.
This should be Sunday called People Who Should Be Murdered.
TLC, please enjoy.
That's gross.
Why am I the douchebag here, Ralph? I'm just a customer who's trying to get a little help.
Yeah, but at some point, you have to use your brain and realize that the way you're going about it is not effective, and so you change your tact.
Wait,
you don't keep slamming your head up against the wall and then say, ow, my head hurts, it's their fault.
The way I'm going about it is contacting customer service to try to get them to help me because I am a customer who requires service.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's not about that. It's about you having a human phobia, and you don't want to interact with anyone in person. You all want to do it. You want to do everything via the computer. So you get on this chat, and it's obviously going south, and it's not getting you the desired results. So instead of taking another tact and picking up the phone and talking to someone in person, you just keep smacking your head against the wall.
Okay. Here, we're going to talk about what the problem was when I tried to deal with a satellite radio issue here over the weekend. But here my whole thing. I hate what customer service has become here in the 21st century, especially that if you do try to pick up the phone, you end up, and please nobody call or text or write and say, just press zero, because they've figured out a way to make the zero option not happen anymore. You end up in an endless maze of menus, of pre-recorded voice menus. And it's almost impossible to get to a real person because they just assume you can solve every problem with their little touch-tone menu.
Did you try?
I did not in this particular instance.
Then suck it!
Because that has been my experience with the satellite radio in the past. So I said, you know what? I need a real person to explain to me what's going on with my account.
But you've got a complex problem here. And then
it's not complex.
It is.
It
absolutely is.
It's not complex at all.
It absolutely is. I read your five-page dossier here, and the details make my head swim.
You've
got a honked up account. That's what you got the wrong cars are on there. They say you're canceled. Your credit card's not right. There's like four different things going on with your account.
But when you get somebody on the line who's representing the satellite company as customer service, shouldn't they have access to your account and be able to answer your questions and fix your problems? My thing is this. this person either has limited English or is a computer, which is what Lisa thinks. Lisa thinks
really
this
don't.
Might not even be a human. This might be a robot.
Yeah, they're just picking up key words.
I think
they never
she's right.
Answer his
really?
Direct questions.
Yeah, I think that there's certain key the words that are they're keying on and they're giving you the computer response. Because it's built for simple tasks in order to clear up simple problems. Not, hey, my car was totaled, and then my credit card was caught in the back seat at the time, and it caught on fire, and I'd like to know, what about my two other cars? And what if I get a third car, but it's a clown car, and I want to put a bunch of clowns in there, and they would listen to Sirius. What happened then, Luke? I will help you. That's what the computer hears.
But it's funny that all Luke ever says is, I apologize for the inconvenience. I will assist you with the information. I am sorry to hear that.
That's
but they
right.
never
it's
actually answer any of my questions. Right. So I say things to them on the chat like, hey, please stop giving me robot answers and talk to me like a real person. I surely will help you with that information, yeah. Gene.
If that's you say to a robot, stop being a robot, what do you think the robot's going to say? Oh, my bad, dude. Let's go get a bar. Let's go get a beer.
But where do you think I went wrong in the chat here, Ralph? Because I've looked over this thing a couple of times, and I feel like I started out with all the pertinent information at my fingertips. I had my account number going. I had specific details that I thought would make it easy for him to solve my problem. What did I do wrong?
I think about a page into this lengthy chat that you had with the assistant. Let me see. I see the expiration date on your credit card is blah, blah, blah on your account. That's right. Another 6 months from now. Okay. Yes, you're obviously correct, Gene, it says here. I am so confused. That expiration date has not occurred yet. Okay. Perhaps I replaced the card at some point for another reason. I'm just trying to move this thing along. Because there are other concerns with this inaccurate information in my account on your website. I'm sorry to hear that, writes back the computer. Is there someone in America I can be transferred to? All right. Why don't you start making racist accusations against the computer?
No,
that's what I'm thinking. You're frustrated enough to maybe take another tact.
It wasn't meant
that's
to be
one page
at
in.
All.
There's four more pages after that of being just being pissy and angry and frustrated. I think, why? At what point do you click close on that chat and pick up the phone?
Like when they give you the phone number because they realize the computer
right.
realizes it can't handle
yeah.
you.
Luke, the computer says about a page and a quarter in, early on, in order to process your request, please call listener care at 866 and gives the phone number.
Does that happen?
The computer's telling you, get off this chat. I can't help
you.
I'm not going to do that. Is there someone else there I can chat with?
I've spent 30 minutes on this already. I'm not giving up.
I've waited a long time to get an agent. We can spend a longer time and not being satisfied during this computer chat.
Beats lost it.
Look, they're customer service, and I don't think it's racist to say, is there someone in America I could talk to? Because clearly the person that they have outsourced this duty to overseas, and I think my guy ends up being in the Philippines, by the way, I think clearly he doesn't have enough of an understanding of English in order to be able to help me.
I think computers don't have enough understanding of
yes.
your dialect and slang
the
to
nuance
help you. My
your...
car got totaled. They don't get what that means.
It never occurred to me for a second,
really?
Lisa, that this could be a computer, that this might not be a real person.
All right, real person or computer. Once you run up against the wall and he says, really, you should call this phone number, that they can help you better. And you go, no. Once you dig your heels in and you're confirmed that you're going to have five more pages of this conversation, who's the idiot then? Is it Luke in the Philippines or is it Gene in Washington State who won't help himself?
But so funny to read all that stuff.
Oh, the more pissy he gets, the more I laughed.
I chat with someone else with better English and better command of how to help me? Please answer. Luke writes, yes. I write back, now, he writes, or the computer writes, please give me a moment while I escalate this chat. And I'm thinking at this point, I'm home free now because they're going to give me some sort of a supervisor, some sort of person who steps in when it can't.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so here's what he writes back. I am sorry to inform you that the agents are busy, so I will help you with the information, Gene.
And you're right back where you started.
You're not
right
talking to Doto.
I say, what is going on? Please focus here, Luke, in quotation
yeah.
marks.
The minute you start yelling at your computer chat, it's like, hey, focus in here, Luke, in quotes. Once you start getting pissy with it, that's the time to get out of the conversation.
No, it's the time to dig in and go.
What? You're literally, the definition of insanity is repeating the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome.
Beats lost it.
You say the same thing over and over and over again in this chat.
Read the last few lines to get us out of here, Ralph,
because
this is how it ended, where at some point I did realize I was not going to get any assistance.
Yeah. Yes, I am here, Gene. Sorry, I asked you another question that you ignored. Are you listening? Yes, I am listening. Why is there a payment due if the credit card is active and on autopay? Why is service suspended? Why have you not renewed my service? Why is there an interruption? Please answer. You have been just no help. I have done less than zero. You have done less than zero for me here tonight. Please tell me this is your last day. Please quit this line of work. You are not suited for it at all. I hope you understand that. You do our countries no favors by continuing to do this to people. Good night. Now it's an international incident?
I'm surprised it wasn't. Please kill yourself.
What is wrong with you?
So who wins, me or the computer?
The computer wins every time.
Get it.
We're talking to a doomsday prepper on the program next hour, Lisa May.
Yes.
He is preparing his family for the total destruction of the power grid, so he is figuring out a way to survive when the rest of the world collapses.
Oh,
so I'm very excited about
that.
They're
going to be so lucky because we'll be all dead.
Also, Spartacus himself will be here. Actor Liam McIntyre joins us later on this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm a little bit nervous about this one. I'm actually a fan of The Odd Future. We've got two of the guys, Tyler and Elboy, on the phone with us right now to talk about their new TV show, but I don't know that they've ever been on terrestrial radio for 30 seconds without swearing.
Uh-oh.
So I'm a little bit worried how this is going to go. Boys, you going to behave today?
Yeah, double high. Yep, we out here, man. Thanks. Trying not to say any bad words. N words.
Yes, I appreciate that. And what is the deal without using the words? You must get so much grief on your records and on your appearances when you use, you know, the N word and the F word for gays and stuff like that. And so many people hate you guys for that. Yet you continue to do it. Why do you stick with it?
Why does it matter if anyone else doesn't like it?
Well, I'm just saying it seems like you are giving people an opportunity to hate you without ever even knowing anything about you just because they've already made up their mind what those words mean coming from people in 2012.
Oh, well, I don't really give it. Oh, man, that was close.
That was close. That was close.
Oh, my gosh.
So you've just decided it's important enough to you to do whether people like it or not. If they're not with you, you don't need them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay. You're the L-boy. You're the idea man for Odd Future, the rap collective. What does that mean as the idea man? What kind of stuff do you do? What's your job like when you wake up in the morning?
Usually I wake up in the morning, eat some cereal,
look
at the computer, and, right. I don't really come up with ideas. I just sit around and they come to me, you know?
I would like to be known as the idea man if part of the job is not actually coming up with ideas. That sounds like a pretty good deal. Now, are you, Elboy, you're also involved in the new TV show, though, in the Loiter Squad?
Yeah, I'm not so much in the rap because I can't rap. I'm a terrible rapper. I'm more of the TV show.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah, the ideas for the show, not so much the rap.
Tyler, how do you explain the TV show to people? Because it does look like nothing I've ever seen before.
I mean, we grew up on Dave Chappelle's, like, the show and, like, Jackass and Family Guy and Robot Chicken. So you could just definitely see the influence. I'd say that we directly emulated it, but you could for sure see the influence in it all in one. We're also Asians.
Well, I mean, all of those shows. All of those shows that you mentioned, Robot Chicken, Family Guy, Chappelle, I mean, those are all right in the wheelhouse of the K-Rock listeners, too. I mean, this is definitely something they want to check out. It's on Adult Swim. It premieres March 25th at 11:30. But it looks like one of those shows where everything changes, you know, 15 seconds at a time. Is it longer form than that, or is it just a quick hit, move on to the next thing?
It's a quick hit, but it's not 15 seconds. It's probably like 2 minutes. Like, it's still kind of quick, though, compared to other skit shows.
Yeah. Is there going to be much music on it as well, or just acting?
I mean, you will see. It's a lot of surprises. Like, this one baby got jumped in one of the skits, but you'll see.
Baby got jumped. That makes
Are
me
you
want to. A baby got jumped makes me want to do, dude. We're on the phone with for just another minute with Tyler and Elboy from The Odd Future. We're talking about the TV show that debuts on Adult Swim Cartoon Network, of course, called Loiter Squad. coming from Dick House Entertainment, the guys who did Nitro Circus and Jackass and Robin Big. They've done a lot of our great shows over the year. And today is the day that The Odd Future, like the official debut CD, comes out. Even though you've had hundreds of tracks in the past, there's actually something people can walk into a store and buy today. Is that right?
Sure. Yes.
How do you even narrow down what tracks to put on an album when you guys are as prolific as you are? I mean, how did you even choose what was going to come out officially?
I don't know. We just picked it. We find a crackhead and just play him the song, and he chooses, and then figure out the track list from there.
Okay. Hey, guys, thanks for coming on. Good luck with the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having us on there, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye now. Francisco tweets to the Kevin and Bean Show, this interview rivaled the one with Snooki. Keep up the good work.
Yeah.
Alex says, wow, after 10 years of hearing the show, that was a terrible interview. John says, wow, that was the worst interview I've ever heard.
Yep.
Right, but not your worst.
Just goes on and on.
It's not you.
No, Bean's
made
done
it
a lot
bad
worse.
Interview.
Worst guest, I think, is what you have to say.
Yeah.
Let's say it now I'm the right depressed. Way. I'm just depressed.
It rivals the Cardigans, I think.
What could you do?
I don't know. I just...
You asked all the right questions, Bean. They just weren't interested.
I don't want to steal Ralph's time here. Maybe we'll talk about it later. But I was excited about having them on because I think they are new and they are a fresh voice. And I like their material. And
I agree. But not everyone should do interviews. I think is the moral of the story.
Yeah.
You like the Cardigans album, too. And that came out, right? And then you sat down with them to have a conversation.
And that was a big mistake. Yes. Yeah. All right. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Tuesday. Ralph Garman joins us. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What is going on?
I think you were on vacation, Bean, when Kevin decided to take a look at mugshots and talk about them. That segment rivaled the Kevin looks at mugshots break, I think.
So we're well on our way if we want to do a top 10 worst breaks of 2012. We've got a good start.
You're new. You're still learning radio. No one expects you to be great right out of the chute.
Look. I knew it was going to be tough because I know those guys are assholes. I know that. But yeah. I thought, you know what? Roll the dice. Might be interesting. Might be fun. I was wrong.
Look, it was fun for us.
We take a shot.
Yeah, it wasn't fun for
you.
We
were laughing in the office.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I think a lot of people enjoyed that very much.
That's the great thing about the Kevin and Bean Show. If you hate something, just wait 5 minutes and we'll do something else that you'll hate. That's what I always say. I was talking yesterday about the Batman Live show, and a lot of people were curious and didn't know about it and stuff, or were asking me questions, so I did a little research, and here's what's going to happen. It's coming to the Honda Center down there in Anaheim, 8 performances from September 5th through the 9th, and then Staples Center, 8 performances the 27th of September through the 30th. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.com, or you can go to BatmanLive.com for more details. And what it is, basically, it's like a giant production stunt show with music and costumes and all the villains and the Batmobiles on stage, and it's a big production is what it is. They call it the Crime Fighting Arena Spectacular.
Oh wow.
If that means anything. I think crime will actually be battled during the course of
excellent.
This. But I'm definitely going. So people were asking, you're talking about this live Batman show, what's that all about? So there you go. For my fellow Bat fans out there.
It's not enough to be a movie anymore. Now it has to be a multimedia in-person experience.
Yes! You get to see Batman beat up the Joker live!
Sure.
Not many people can say that outside of Gotham City. So, very excited. Congratulations to Adele. This is pretty impressive. I had no idea she was selling this many copies of her albums. But she is now in the top 10 all-time best-selling albums in the UK.
Wow!
Yeah.
Listen, wow. Listen to her, the company that she's keeping on this list. Now, keep in mind, this is best-selling 10 albums in the UK, not here in the States, but still. Queen's Greatest Hits is number 10. Michael Jackson's Bad was 9th. Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon was 8th. Then Adele at number 7.
Unbelievable.
That's crazy.
I don't know anyone who doesn't own that album.
That's true.
Here in America.
Dire Straits was 6th. Brothers in Arms. Michael Jackson's Thriller, 4th in the UK. Oasis, What's the Story, Morning Glory, 4th. ABBA's Gold, their greatest hits album, 3rd. Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band is number 2. What do you think the number one best-selling album of all time in the UK is?
Well, I would have guessed Queen's Greatest Hits if you hadn't already mentioned that earlier in the top 10.
No, 10 was Queen's Greatest Hits number 2.
Oh, is it Queen's Greatest Hits?
Queen's Greatest Hits number 1.
Yeah.
How about
theme.
That? Oh, how about that? Yeah, I know how unbelievably crazy huge they are.
Yeah. ABBA, 3rd, I was surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
best-selling album there?
Well, because they came back, you know, with Mamma Mia and sold millions more on top of what they'd already sold. So they've had a couple of runs at the
charts. Good point. Tyler, the Creator, not on this list. I was shocked to see he wasn't in the top 10.
It's not because of his interview
skills.
He's creative, I'll tell you that.
That's for sure. Congratulations to ABC zombie drama The Walking Dead.
Oh, the finale.
Finale was a huge hit. Nearly beat all the broadcast outlets on Sunday night, pulling in some 9 million viewers. Six million of those in the 18 to 49, the coveted demographic for advertisers in that age bracket. So, great, great showing for them. That now means The Walking Dead is the number one drama series in basic cable history.
Mm. Wow.
Has three of the most watched basic cable telecasts of all time. The only numbers that beat it were Monk's finale and an episode of The Closer for better ratings. So Walking Dead, a smash hit for AMC.
Good for them.
Great show. And I feel sorry for the people who don't watch it because they go, oh, it's a zombie show. Because it's a show about humans, and it's amazing.
Last week, Kevin went out of his way to spoil the entire second season for Beer Mug. It was very entertaining. I missed out on it. And from the heights to the depths, Disney has announced yesterday, looks like they're going to lose $200 million on John Carter, this movie that they just put out. The movie cost $250 million to make, another $100 million to publicize. So far, the film has grossed $148 million, which is then split between the theater owners and Disney. So by the time it's all said and done, they're expecting to write $200 million in the loss column.
Wow.
I know that I'm not the art audience for a movie like that, but the trailer looked terrible to me.
Yeah.
It looked like a terrible movie to me.
I think the trailer looked fine. I just think the basic premise, taking a 100-year-old book or whatever it is, and that was fine. That pulp story was fine for its time. Before we knew about anything about Mars and when Civil War veterans were still alive. But to take it now and take a story of a Civil War vet who gets transported to Mars to be their freedom fighter, it just didn't seem like there's anything there to interest modern viewers.
To hang your hat on. Yeah.
So, sorry to hear that, Disney. Today's celebrity birthday, Spike Lee is 55 years old today. Holly Hunter, very talented actress, is 54. Kathy Ireland, supermodel. And Rich Broad, 49 years old. Michael Rappaport is 42. Alex Kapranos of Franz Ferdinand is 40. Cedric Yarbrough from Reno 911 is 39. And our buddy Chester Bennington from Linkin Park. I don't think he's the rapist. I think the other guy from Linkin Park is the rapist.
I don't believe there's an actual rapist.
I saw it on the news. They said there's a rapist up in Linkin Park.
Yeah, I don't think they're talking about the band, though.
Well, what other Linkin Park is there, Bean?
There's a Linkin Park in every state in the country.
Oh, that would explain
it. It's an actual park.
I see. Chester is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
By the way, they announced today who is inducting the Red Hot Chili Peppers into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Did you see who they have selected?
Is it a Russian?
It is Chris Rock.
What?
I know. That does seem like an odd choice, right? He's the one who's going to be bringing them on. It's almost always some other musical act.
Yeah.
But Chris Rock is going to be doing it. So congratulations to those guys. Win your Chili Peppers tickets coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Wow.
All right. This is an odd story, Ralph, that you did a couple of weeks ago. We've been dying to get to this topic because there are people who just cannot break up.
Yes.
And they also can just not stay together. Tell me about the beautiful actress Sophia Bush. What's going on with her?
Yeah, this idea came up because we were talking about Sophia Bush, who announced that she was officially split from her boyfriend of 6 years, Austin Nichols. They had been on again, off again for 6 years. I mean, almost it seemed like every other month that you were hearing that they had split up. I don't know the exact total. But for 6 years, they kept breaking up and getting back together again, breaking up and getting back together. For 6 years, this went on.
Yeah.
And she's in the news because she's a popular actress from One Tree Hill. But
right,
we
exactly.
all know people like this who just have that person in their relationship. You know, they always say the joke about this, like a bad penny, it always turns back up. They always break up. They always say, this is it. I'm done with that person. I'm never going to see this person again. This person is wrong for me. This person is bad for me. And then 3 weeks later, they're back together.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Sophia Bush would even announce that she was breaking up with Austin Nichols, her co-star from One Tree Hill, because there's a chance you'll be back with him again. If you've done it off and on for 6 years, there's an excellent chance you'll get back.
Maybe every time she breaks up with him, that's it.
No, she says, this is it. This is it.
Right.
This is, when I mean this is it.
She totally believes it.
That's what she means. So we were saying 6 years of on again, off again. How exhausting does that sound? And then we thought, well, there must be some of our listeners out there who have had these stories about how many times they've split up with someone and gotten back together with that person over the years. And it would be fascinating to hear the logic behind that sort of wrong-headed romantic thinking.
Now, my theory is, and of course there are lots of probably lots of different reasons why people go back to these folks that they can't stay with. But my theory, but it's that you're lazy and it's easier to date somebody that you already have that familiarity with, somebody that you already, you know, you guys already know each other. Right?
I think fear, it's largely fear-based.
Let
why people get back together.
Something
again.
Else. As
Let
well.
Me get the phone number first, Lisa, okay. Before you do. 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number to get right into the studio here at the Kevin and Bean Show. We want to hear from you if you've had one of these relationships that on the outside just looks toxic to everybody else because you guys are always fighting and always breaking up.
But I love him.
But you don't understand. He's my person.
Hey, when we're together, he's different.
But to you guys, it just makes sense and it works for you. Lisa, back to you.
Sometimes you notice a pattern in your relationships, and what you realize is it may not be the relationship, it's actually stuff that you do that creates the problem, and maybe they do the same. So they could be the right person if you can stop that pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go on to the next person, you may end up in the same kind of situation. So sometimes it's just you need to stop and actually work on that relationship.
All right.
But don't you stay together if you're going to work on that relationship?
Yeah.
But we're saying people are breaking up,
getting together.
Right. But at what point do you realize that isn't going to be fixed?
Because there is something that keeps drawing you back together. And finally you go, all right, we need to actually dig deep and see what this is.
That seems awfully self-aware for most of the people I know. I think more than likely it's, I hate being with this person. I'm going to break up. Oh, wait a minute. I hate being alone more. And I'm scared to death that I will be alone and feel this feeling forever. So it's better to be in a bad relationship than no relationship at all. And I'm afraid I won't meet anybody new.
Let me ask you guys this, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who have a lot of different opinions on this. I understand that all relationships take work, and I understand that a lot of relationships take a lot of work. But isn't there a point at which if you have to do so much work that it's not worth it, that it's really just the wrong – it's not the right fit?
Yes.
If it's that difficult to stay together, if it's that difficult to not break up every 6 months, then maybe these two people shouldn't be together. There's no crime in saying you're a good person, I'm a good person, we're not a good fit together. You don't like every person you sit on an airplane next to. You know what I mean? You don't have to because there are lots of other people in the world. Same sort of thing with relationships.
Yep, that's true.
I think the phrase relationships take hard work has done a disservice to people in relationships over the years because I think – What that saying means is relationships need tending to and fostering, and you need to bring them along and you need to pay attention to them and you need to be present in them. But the concept of it should be hard work, and hard work has a connotation of digging ditches and it's just backbreaking and it's miserable and you're not happy. And it lets people think that that's how you should be in a relationship, and I don't think so. I think a relationship should be effortless in the sense that, yes, these two pieces fit together and it's such a positive thing. And the work comes in of just sort of attending to that and making sure that relationship is kept healthy.
That's a good point. That's an excellent point. And we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Before we go to we're going to go to Kim here in just 1 second. I have a friend. And I don't want to say his name because I don't want to, you know, call him out or embarrass
him. That's
nice
of you to
like
do
that.
For beer mug.
It's not beer mug. My friend is named Schmiermug.
Oh, Schmiermug.
Schmiermug is a guy. I don't think you guys know him. He's a friend, a non-radio friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Schmiermug is a guy who has been together with his lady, who I also know, who is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They've been together for 4 years. I'm not joking when I tell you I think they've broken up 40 times in 4 years. That's not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's to the point where it's 3 days on, 5 days off. I mean, that's the kind of breaking up I'm talking about. What do you think that is? Schmiermug, Beer Mug, let me ask you about my friend Schmiermug. What do you think's going on there in that situation? Are those two people who should be together or two people who should, I don't know, get an effing clue?
Fantastic.
That's it?
That's Schmiermug? What's your
advice for my friend, Beer Mug?
Fantastic.
Does anything outrageous happen in your relationship?
Good boy.
Let's talk to Kim.
I don't think Beer Mug wants to talk about Schmiermug.
Doesn't sound like. I thought you would have some insight on that. Let's talk to Kim real quick on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is on line 3. I gave you like 2 minutes heads up that we were going to be going to her mug, so you wouldn't have to now look for her. Kim, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for hanging on, my dear. What do you have to add to this conversation? What's going on in your life?
Well, I think if I could find somebody better, maybe I would move on. But he's a very unique person, and I just can't find anybody like him. And
okay, then what keeps breaking you guys up? If you like him so much, what keeps breaking you up then?
How many times did you break up, in how long a stretch?
We've been off and on and off and on for 4 years. It's about, I'm sure we've broken up officially about 4 times, where I've told him to he's dead to me, don't talk to me, go away.
Uh-huh, right.
Literally. And he keeps coming back around, and, you know, it's a sickness.
So for 4 years, off and on, you've been seeing this person.
Yes.
And you say you're afraid you don't find anyone like him, but if you don't leave him and date other people, you will never find anyone else.
That's true. Get rid of him, and I try to meet other people. I go out of my way. I try to find people that like to do more of the stuff that I like to do. That's our problem. Like, he won't do the stuff with me that we both like to do.
Uh-huh.
And so I go out of my way, and I try to, you know, do new stuff and go new places and meet new friends, and it just, it's L.A., and,
it is L.A.
Yeah, there's so few people in L.A. I can understand where you're coming from there.
Forget it's Chinatown, Jake.
Kim, do you think that it is a healthy relationship if you guys keep breaking up so much?
No.
Yeah. Where are you at now? Are you on or off?
We're on.
You're on now.
Sort of. It doesn't sound like he's sort of doing anything to help this along. You say he won't do anything with you that you both like doing?
Yeah, that's the problem.
How much does he care about this?
Obviously, it's weird because he'll, you know, we stay in touch and we hang out and we do stuff, you know, other stuff sometimes, but it's like, I can't, I don't know. We just don't do the activities. Like, I want to go out and go do stuff, and he wants to chill. It's just
you can't find anyone who will take you out. That's true. I can understand why.
And by chill, you mean he wants to bone you.
All right, Kim, you're
a model of self-esteem, Kim. We're very proud of you.
whatever happened to Psycho Mike's website, Hot Chicks with Low Self-Esteem? We got to get that up and running. Yes, all right, we'll take your calls on this topic. You cannot stop breaking up. You cannot stop getting together. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on the Kevin Beat. Doomsday Preppers is the show on Nat Geo. We're going to be talking to a man who regularly...
It's a freak show race. It's pee and doomsday. It's like, what the hell?
And he regularly packs up his kids and sees how fast they can get to the bunker in the desert with all their weapons. Because, you know, when S goes down, Ralph, you're going to want to be prepared.
So call Child Services, someone.
Tim, in a couple of minutes. First, though, right now we're talking about those relationships that you can't stop dating this person. You guys love each other so much you have to be together until you hate each other so much you have to break up right now and you never want to see each other again.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of calls here at 1-800-520-1067. Which one
now
you
I know
first?
How Loveline has stayed on the air for so many years.
Yep.
There's so many people out there.
Who do you want to go to? We only have time probably for a couple, Ralph.
Well, I got to go with Melissa, I think.
All right. Let's try Melissa. She is on line three. She joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Sophia Bush has broken up like multiple times, back together, off again with her boyfriend. They've been together for 6 years, cannot leave each other alone. That's what started this topic. Melissa, what's going on in your life, my dear?
Hi. Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning,
Melissa.
Hi. Well, we definitely love each other. We've been together for over 6 years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe the problem is he's bipolar, maybe I'm bipolar. I mean, the things that just happen are ridiculous. I mean, my parents were, you know, totally against us moving in together. We actually have a home together, and we're ready to get married at the end of the year, I guess. Who knows?
You guess who knows? That's the way to go to a marriage.
How many times have you guys broken up, would you say, in 6.5 years, Melissa?
Realistically, over 50 times at least.
50 times?
Melissa, I'm not kidding.
Do you guys do therapy or anything? What have you done to fix this?
You know, I've tried. I've initiated it, but I didn't follow through with it. So.
Good. That's the way to solve the problem.
Isn't it?
Yep.
Maybe before you get married.
Let me ask you this. I can't understand 50 times. 50 times you're a fool. Seriously. But I can understand multiple times breaking up because there's one thing that is intractable. There's one thing, like the person has a drug and alcohol problem, or the person is a crappy father, or whatever it is. I can understand there's one thing that you cannot abide by that you have to break up. But other than, I mean, what's going on with you guys? Why do you guys keep breaking up so much? Is it multiple things?
Oh, they're random events. I mean, it could be as little as I woke him up too early, and so therefore I am the biggest brat in the world, and my clothes get chucked out the window.
Melissa, run, run now.
Yes, what are you thinking?
Seriously, this is insane. That's crazy behavior.
Well, see, that's where I'm going.
Why do you think you can't find somebody who would be a little more stress-free than this guy you're dating?
Because I might be able to find someone that's less stress-free, but I don't think I'd find someone that is as fun as him.
Yeah, he sounds like a good time with your clothes being thrown out the window.
Are you addicted to drama? Is that what it is? Like, you feel like your life is boring if you're not on the verge of either breaking up or having incredible makeup sex?
You absolutely sound just like him. I'm addicted to drama. Yeah. It's me that causes it.
Yeah, so you need to be alone, and then you need to get yourself into therapy and to fix yourself.
Hey, I'm not the only problem here.
Yes, you are.
Because you're staying.
You know what? You absolutely are the one with the problem, because obviously if he has problems, that's not your problem. You can't fix his problems. You can only fix yours.
Yeah, all right. Okay,
I mean,
you
need to go get healthy. At a minimum, you're co-signing on the problem here. Even if it's not all you, you're definitely contributing to this.
Yeah.
Don't get married. Don't get married. Don't get married.
I'll send you guys an invitation.
No, don't do it.
You're not
sell
here
the house and get away.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. Do it.
Look, what about your friends and family? What do they say to you about this guy? Do they advise you, thumbs up, keep doing what you're doing?
Well, I think they just came to accept it at this point. I think that's just it.
Oh, Melissa.
It.
All right, last question, and then we're going to go. Don't you think you deserve better?
I do.
And you are proving that how?
That sounds good.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
You sound like a sweet person, Melissa.
I do.
My heart's breaking knowing that you're putting yourself through this. And you are doing it to yourself, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, Melissa. All right,
stop
good
it.
Luck.
Stop
Call
it.
Us next time you break up, but please do not get married, okay? Will you promise you won't get married like in the next 6 months?
6 years. 60 years.
She's gone. 60
years.
She's gone.
She's gone.
She's gone.
She just got back with
it. Tell you, she's getting married tomorrow.
Guys, 50 to 60 times they've broken up, right?
Look, people are throwing my stuff out the window. I'm done. That's it.
Yeah, you get one of those.
Done.
That's it.
All right.
It's not a mulligan.
Let's hook her up with Tim, and she can live out in the bunker in the desert with him. How about that? That sounds like a more peaceful existence than what she's got going on. We'll be right back here on the Kevin DeBeach Show.
Oh,
big show today. Lots still to come here on the Kevin DeBeach Show, including Liam McIntyre, very fine actor. He is, of course, Spartacus on Spartacus Vengeance. I'm no fan of the lads, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good-looking dude.
Yes, he is.
He's a good-looking dude and a terrific actor, and that show has a little something for everybody. So we'll talk to Spartacus himself coming up here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Right now, though, I'm very excited about another show I love called Doomsday Preppers. We've talked about it a lot here on the Kevin DeBeach Show in recent weeks. It airs Tuesday nights at 9 on the National Geographic. These are the people who are preparing for any number of reasons for the end of the world or for very bad things to happen that put your family in jeopardy, and you need a plan. Look, these are the most prepared people in the world for when the S goes down, and we're very excited to have Tim Ralston on the phone. He is one of them. Hey, Tim, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
I'm great. How are y'all?
Thanks for joining us. Look, I know there are lots of different flavors of people profiled on this Doomsday Preppers. You know, some people think it's a, it's an economic collapse. Some people think it's a terrorist attack. Some people prepare for natural disasters. What stripe are you and your family, Tim?
You know, I'm the everything stripe, honestly. I prep for just about anything, whether it's 3 days without power to an EMP, electromagnetic pulse. That's kind of the stripes they put me into in regards to what do I think could the worst scenario happen, and that would be having no power. So
right. Now, most people, though, a lot of people do nothing, and then they kick themselves when the power goes out and they realize they're unprepared. They don't have water to drink or whatever the problem is. Most people, though, they go, hey, the power might go out. I'll get myself a generator, and then I'm fine. You take it to 1,000 times that level. Why?
Just for that reason, because you just never know. And it's really, for me, prepping is just kind of going back to the basics. And kind of my grandparents are my role models, my dad, my grandparents. They were very self-sufficient people, very much the first responders, in any kind of emergency. So I kind of watched those guys, emulated them, and said, I'm going to be that way. If I ever have kids, and now I have 3, so I've got to be that guy to let them know, hey, they can depend on me. If there's a disaster, I'm going to be able to be the guy that says, here, we're going to make it through, no problems. Last thing I ever want to have my kids say is, Dad, I'm hungry, or Dad, I'm afraid. So
what's your background? Are you a military guy?
Yes, I am. Actually, I was in the Air Force as a pararescue and air traffic controller, and then from there, an entrepreneur for the rest of my life.
When I see the clips of your show, and I haven't seen your complete episode yet, but they have great clips up on the National Geographic website, it always looks like you're sitting in front of, I don't know, tons of camouflage. I don't know if it's like 80 backpacks that are ready to go to the desert, or what's all that stuff in your garage?
Yeah, that was a kind of a setup. Normally that is like packed into a trailer so that I'm really ready to leave. The last thing I want to do in a disaster is say, what do I need to do? Where's all my stuff? So I have everything pre-packed. That's my military training is, you know, I'm always ready for TDY, to temporary duty station somewhere else. So I take that same role for my family is all my emergency gear is packed in packs and set out, you know, either it's by the garage or for me, it's in the trailer. So if something bad happened, the last place I'll be is in the city. And so we would take off and head to the mountains.
Go ahead, Lisa.
I think being prepared obviously is a great idea, but how much has it taken over your life? Like, do your kids have fun? Do they get to go to movies? Do they have a life outside of this?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. A lot of people have the misconception that prepping can consume you. And honestly, it's been 20 years for me to get to where I'm at. You know, I do things methodically, and really, the only thing that really kind of consumes me is I spend a couple hours a night surfing the net, trying to either read or watch videos, learning different techniques. So versus me watching Jersey Shores, I'm sitting there watching, okay, how do I build a bushcraft shelter? You know, to me that's more interesting than you know, watching mind-numbing TV. So education for me in learning, you know, you can never take that away, but my kids, that's the reason I live in town. You know, my kids are all crazy athletes, and so I spend my time mostly driving to soccer matches. So,
well, that's reassuring.
Yeah, so it has not taken over my life. It's actually enhanced it and allowed me to have a lot more calm when, you know, everyone else may be losing theirs. I'll be a lot calmer because I've made those preparations ahead of time. You know, I prepare when it's not an emergency. Then when it does happen, then you're a lot easier to handle it.
Would you be disappointed if nothing ever happened?
Oh, no way. I don't want anything to happen. Honestly, my business is doing well, and things are going in a positive direction. Last thing I want to do is to have, you know, the end of the world happen. You know, I want everything to go along smoothly.
Do you watch the Doomsday Prepper show on Nat Geo?
I do. I love every show that comes on. I learn something from it. You know,
Think about some of these people, though? I mean, you as a Doomsday Prepper have to look at some of these other people who can barely walk around in their house because they have 8 years worth of toilet paper stacked up in their living room. You have to even think some of these people are crazy, right?
Yeah, you know, I don't think that they're crazy. Anyone that's preparing for the worst and hoping for the best, I don't think that they're crazy at all. I've watched some other shows that are put on television, you know, that I think are a lot crazier. The hoarder thing where, you know, they're living in their own feces, that's pretty gross.
Well, yeah, I think we can all agree on that.
That's an extreme to me, you know, having extra canned food. Yeah, you know, it just depends. If they do it, you know, smartly and do it the right way, I think it's fantastic. You know, I wish more people, maybe not even take it to that extreme, but if at least a majority of the people had what FEMA recommends, at least 7 to 10 days worth of food and water, you know, as a nation, if anything bad happens, you know, we're a lot less to panic and see the worst side of humanity.
Yeah, we're all too lazy for that, Tim. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Tim Ralston is on the phone. He's one of the Doomsday Preppers. We're talking about the show that airs Tuesdays at 9 on Nat Geo. Hey, what part of the country do you live in, Tim? I don't even know.
Arizona.
Okay, and this bunker that you you prep your family by, you know, packing up the van and heading out in 40 minutes to get to, do you have an underground hole or something that you guys are going to live in? Or what's the story out in the desert?
No, actually, what we're purchasing a cabin up in the mountains, and by that cabin, we'll have a 40-foot container that is buried, and we'll have stores and supplies in there. You know, and that's really for a lot of reasons. You know, up here in the high country, the last thing I want to do is to have all my gear that I've spent money on and then a forest fire come through and, you know, take it out.
Mm-hmm.
So underground, it's much more safe and less likely for vandals to find it and to, you know, to take what I've got.
Plan ahead. All right, we got one clip from your episode of the show, Doomsday Preppers, that we want to play. And Lisa, this may answer your question about what his kids have to think. This is one of Tim's sons talking about Dad.
My dad is out there, and he's kind of different. He trains a lot and is always telling us to be prepared and just hope for the best and prepare for the worst.
I think every American household should have a gun.
And then right after that on the show, they show them bandaging up your hand. Mm-hmm. Did you shoot your thumb off? What happened there, Tim?
Oh, I knew that question was coming. Yeah, actually, I did have a catastrophic malfunction of a new weapon system that, you know, I've been shooting for 39 years and I've never had an accident. And wouldn't you know, when I go on national TV, mm-hmm. I have an accident and I'm like, okay. When I went to go load this shotgun, there was a malfunction. You know, everything was by the book, safety on, yada, 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 down the line. I mean, I took it like I was a military instructor, you know, and it's one of those Murphy laws. When you think it won't happen, it's going to happen. And when it did go off, you know, it was really ironic. The day before, I was talking with the, you know, producers, and they were interviewing me saying, what's your most important equipment? Like you said, all that stuff behind me, is that important to you? And I said, no, it's my mind. And the mindset of a survivalist or prepper is to stay calm when everyone else loses their head. You'll be the calm guy. So they didn't show how calm I was when that actually did happen. And, you know, it was this, I gave instructions to the whole crew. This is what we got to do, yada, yada, yada. But I did take a rest. That's all I can say. I can't say pass out.
It looked like you passed out of the clip. Look, I'm not clowning right. on you. You can be the most efficient gun, most knowledgeable gun owner in the world. They are machines, and occasionally they will malfunction. It wasn't your fault, Tim.
No. My Army buddies give me crap about that. Oh, you passed out. I'm like, okay, so I passed out. I just shut my thumb up. Yeah. No,
you got to see the rest of this episode. They've got them all in repeats. It's a great show. It really is. I mean, like I said, there's all different sorts of doomsday preppers. And the rest of us, we watch your show instead of taking the time to actually prepare for our own family's safety. But you're doing the Lord's work out there, Tim. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Kevin Devine Show. We appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for having me, guys.
What does Jesus think about Tim Tebow leaving the Denver Broncos? I don't know about that, but we'll find out what Andrew Siciliano thinks from the NFL Network coming up here on the Kevin Devine Show. And Spartacus himself, Liam McIntyre, joins us in studio coming up right after Ralph's Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin Devine Show. Morning, Ralph.
It's Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are available for your entertainment dollar. Let's see what's new out there. Port of Morrow by The Shins. Their new CD is available. The new Hunger Games CD, songs from District 12 and beyond, music from the movie featuring Arcade Fire, Taylor Swift, Kid Cudi, and others is available also today. On DVD, you can pick up The Muppets, the new movie starring Jason Segel and Amy Adams, bringing The Muppets back to the big screen. The Muppets, by the way, getting their star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame today around 11:30. If you're a Muppets fan, I'm going to go check that out.
What a coincidence.
What a coincidence.
The DVD comes out. What are the chances?
Yeah, I bet the freaking Muppets didn't have to pay for the star themselves. God damn it. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, starring Daniel Craig and Rooney Mara, also available today. Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which I did not get a chance to see in the theaters, and I'm dying to see, so I'm glad it's on DVD today with Gary Oldman and his Oscar-nominated performance. And The Sitter with Jonah Hill and Sam Rockwell, also available today for you to pick up. Gwyneth Paltrow's upset.
Uh-oh.
She is very upset because there's a big story now about this woman who has come out from behind the curtain and announced that she has been a ghostwriter for celebrity cookbooks.
Oh, really?
Yes, Lisa.
Including Gwyneth?
New York Times article written by Julia Moskin, is her name, was entitled, I Was a Cookbook Ghostwriter. And it talks about how she ghost wrote cookbooks for Martha Stewart, Paula Deen, Jamie Oliver, Rachel Ray, and other celebrities.
Wait, isn't being a ghostwriter, isn't part of the deal that you're supposed to be a ghost, you're invisible, you don't come forward
be the ghost.
And blow the cover for the celebrity?
She's like one of those hookers who comes out and tells people who she sleeps with. Keeps a book. It's not good. Anyway, Rachel Ray, Gwyneth Paltrow got caught up in the scandal, and she has released a statement saying no. She wrote her own cookbook entirely by herself and did not use a ghostwriter. And she's incensed that anyone would think otherwise. You must be so proud, Gwyneth, that you're able to assemble a list of recipes by yourself. I could see why I'd be so angry. Anyway, Gwyneth Paltrow wants you to know she wrote her own cookbook.
All right.
Okay.
Who is using cookbooks, by the way, in the day and age where you can go to the internet and get any recipe for anything from any restaurant anywhere in the world?
I still do.
Use cookbooks?
Mm-hmm. I really like them. Well,
my wife
reads
them like novels.
Yeah, they are kind of like
that. She sits down and looks through the pages with the pictures.
The pictures are beautiful, and they, it's much more than just a recipe, generally.
It is. It's a book for retarded people. That's what it is. Who sits there and just looks at pictures of food for hours? What kind of way is that
people
to spend your time?
People
who like to cook. Well, then cook, but don't just look at pictures of food.
You don't get it.
It's the difference between boning a chicken looking through Playboy.
You just don't get it.
And by the way, aren't there also celebrity chefs? I mean, you mentioned Martha Stewart. People who have a following, and if you're a fan of Martha Stewart, you kind of want to see her presentation for what you're preparing, right?
I mean, cookbooks aren't just recipes. They talk about, you know, how they came to the recipe, what they've done with it, what you compare it with, like how it came from their family.
I'm sorry, were you still talking about cookbooks?
Yes.
Cookbooks. For God's sakes.
I need some recipe help. Do you have anything on this?
I like warm peas.
Stop it! No, there's no recipe that uses that ingredient.
Okay.
George Clooney's girlfriend may be spending less time with Mr. Dreamy and more time on a soundstage. New York Post reports that she's in talks to become a host on The X Factor.
Ooh.
Now, here's the thing. Stacey Keibler, lovely, charming, by all accounts, just as sweet as pie.
Love her. We had her in on the show.
Love
her. Couldn't have been more awesome.
Love her. Was a wrestler.
That's right.
And then was on Dancing on the Stars.
No, she was on a TV show in between.
What TV show?
As an actress.
She was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Actress, wrestler, dancer. X Factor, if I'm not mistaken, singing competition, right?
That's true. She doesn't do any of that.
She doesn't sing, as far as I know.
None of that.
Well, she might have a radio in her car, Ralph. She could be qualified.
She will be judging other people on their singing, if I'm not mistaken, if I understand the concept of the X Factor properly.
That is odd.
It is odd.
I do agree.
But look, I want her to get it because I want that couple to be very happy. Whatever they want, I want to happen for them. But I just thought it was odd that they would talk to her about that. I mean, I could go host now. Be a judge, right? Because I've listened
to
music.
Yeah, if you don't need any musical credentials,
why not me? I'm saying I'm throwing my hat in the ring.
Okay.
Call me Simon. I'll do it for like $2 million. Today's celebrity birthdays. Director Spike Lee is 55 years old today. Actress Holly Hunter turns 54. Kathy Ireland, the most successful supermodel of all time. Isn't that crazy?
That is shocking.
Forbes magazine had her as number one. 49 years old. Michael Rapaport, 42 years old. Alex Kapranos of Franz Ferdinand is 40 years old. Cedric Yarbrough of Reno 911 turns 39. And Chester Bennington of Linkin Park, 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What do you think, Lisa? You like
it? It would work. It'll do.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mother F and Spartacus joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Actor Liam McIntyre is here. Look at that dude.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Of you should just go bury yourselves somewhere.
You and I are not even the same species, man. Come on. What's going on? That's not fair. What's that deal?
Oh my God, trust me. It's not natural in the sense that I was really skinny before all this happened.
I don't believe that.
So there's certain things neither do that I, you know. Working out doesn't help.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? But it's so hard. People they lie to you. These things just lie to you. I was actually convinced. I'd watched and read so many health guides that I ignored when I was younger that, it's 6-week abs and things like that. And I remember reading that going, oh, no, I can totally do this. 6 weeks, no problem. That's what they say in those books, right?
Right.
What a lie. What a dirty lie.
It's nice to hear you say that, though. Gives other men hope.
It must be like, no joke, to do a show like yours. Anytime you have a job where you literally have to take your shirt off every single day to go to work and parade around for people, it must almost seem like you have a second job, which is, all right, I have to be committed to staying in this kind of shape if I'm going to do the first job.
Well,
right?
Yeah, it was. I remember that I made a commitment at the start of the season, the season we're showing now, where I just went 2 hours after work, it doesn't matter how long that day is, I have to go to the gym every day. It just has to happen.
Every bite you take, you're like, oh, is this going to show up
tomorrow?
I
just went on this diet for the last week and a half just because I had this photo shoot and I was stressing.
Oh, that's brutal.
And it was so hard. I had my trainer in New Zealand just gave it to me. He said, it's the cutting diet from hell. You'll absolutely hate me, but you'll love me afterwards. And I'm like,
wow.
It was the most, like, my breakfast was 10 egg whites, sweet potato, and I don't know how many ounces of vegetables. It was 3 pounds of vegetables a day anyway. And it was
oh my God.
And no salt, no oil, no flavor, no nothing. It was so hard to get down.
Look, there are actors who literally decide what roles to take based on what kind of shape they need to be in. And sometimes they just go, you know, it's just not worth it. I don't want to be that guy this year. So. Yeah.
Can I be like the guy that invented McDonald's in my next role? That'd
be
fun.
Do you take off in between? Do you kind of let it go in between seasons?
I didn't. I just, because it's weird. I've never been that comfortable with my body. And so, thanks, universe. Here, how about a show where you can never wear a shirt? So I didn't have...
You were too afraid to.
Well, I didn't have the guts because I'd never had to be in shape before. So when I got in shape, I was too scared that it would suddenly just disappear like a ghost in the night. And
see, that's why I'm not going to bother getting in shape.
Yeah,
because
it's not
then there's
worth
too
it.
Much pressure. To keep it.
I know. Wait,
let's talk about before. First of all, don't let Lisa ask you about your onstage
my God,
credentials because I know you've done a ton of Shakespeare and everything
Shakespeare.
Else.
Yeah.
But let's talk about you being in radio because I can't even believe that. How did
that's
tell
right,
me about
Bean. That was the weirdest thing because I started acting and. Again, my mom has all these great ideas, and one of her great ideas was that you should do a radio course because wouldn't that be the best thing ever? You've got a radio voice, and
well, you were kind of fat. So.
Yeah, and you're ugly as sin, Liam. Get in the box. No, it was just one of those things that just happened, and it was so fun. And I studied
radio, but then you got a job in commercial radio. And you were working New Zealand at a radio station, or no?
No. I'm Australian, so I was working. I went up and did some imaging and things like that, and was doing some panel work and some voiceover stuff, and I just getting a broad, kind of an internship thing, and that was fun. And I was.
Did you like it?
It was great.
You realize, radio is for ugly people? I got to get the hell out of here.
No, there was a surprisingly large amount of very attractive people. I might say.
Radio in Australia is very different than radio in America.
Oh, maybe you should get a job down there. It was just one of those things. I remember, though, I said, well, I should give this acting thing a couple more years. And, I still feel like I got something to offer there, I guess. So I'll do that. But, and if it's not feeling right, I love radio. So I'll come back to that. So,
How about that?
Who knows?
So
right?
You're doing stage acting. And by the way, again, if you're just joining us here on the Kevin Amin Show, Liam McIntyre is in studio. He is the star of Spartacus Vengeance on the Starz channel. New episodes Friday nights at 10. So you're in radio and you're also doing the stage stuff and you enjoy it. You get the bug, the acting bug.
Yeah.
And most people, they want to branch out, go to TV and movies. It's very difficult to do that. Did you find that transition difficult or were people calling you up saying, hey, please come be on our show?
Absolutely not. It couldn't be more wrong. No, even before this, the last thing I did was this with a friend, a short film about, I think, Dungeons and Dragons or something, which was fun. And I'd done a day on our Australian show Neighbours, which you may or may not have heard of, which every
we've
Australian
all heard of
star,
that just because Kylie Minogue was on. That's what we know about Neighbours.
Yeah, and I think Russell Crowe and Guy Pearce were on the same episode fighting each other.
I think, if I'm not wrong.
You have to do your time. And Ryan Quanten, I think, was on Home and Away or something like that. But
so when you got Spartacus, though, I mean, this is just like warp drive for your career. This is so far and away the biggest thing you've ever done. And you can't. Yeah. I mean, you probably auditioned for that role with 1,000 other blokes, right?
Yeah.
You couldn't believe it when they hired you, right?
It was like being on a different planet. There was no way. I was 100% sure. I was like, well, I'll go because I'll definitely not get it. So, because who am I? I haven't done anything. Nobody knows who I am. Who cares, right? So I every audition I went to, and even when I went to New Zealand and when they took me to New Zealand to train me to see if I could bulk up and all these things, I just went, well, whatever. I mean, I know I won't get it, so this is quite a fun journey, right? Let's go as far as I can go.
I'll just take the free trip, right?
Yeah, I'm like, I think that's how I kind of pitched it to my mom when I went back. I was like, I got this free holiday to New Zealand. I got to act as well. It's such a bonus,
Now, how does one audition for a show like Spartacus Vengeance? Because you are asked to do so many things. You've got the deep emotional stuff. You've got the romantic stuff. You've got the fighting stuff. You've got the badass stuff. I mean, what all do they have you do? Is it like 20 different scenes you've got to audition? To get hired?
Yeah, the nicest thing was because the thing that appeals to me most about Spartacus is all that lovely drama that they have and the horrible position he's put in as a leader as a slave in season one, because a lot of the stuff I auditioned with was material from season one and some of that stuff that Andy did so well. And it's just, it was interesting to see that they were more focused on the dramatic elements, and then I spent some time with the stunt guys to see if I could, you know, have two left feet or actually throw something around and chop some faces off. You know, so yeah, it was interesting that they did focus more on the drama, and that was good for me because that was kind of the bit that I liked the most about the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was good.
But then you get into, I mean, look, people who watch the show know, people who don't, I can't explain how bloody and gory this show is. I mean, it is hardcore. I mean, it's Tarantino blood happening on Spartacus.
Well, I think I was told by the end of the season we were rationing blood because we'd used so much of it. I know.
What's the body count on this show? I mean, because there are scenes sometimes where 20 guys, you know, meet the end of a sword.
I mean, I know. Well, I remember when I was before all this happened, and I got one of those internet picture things where it had body counts for every character, and they just gave up this season. It's almost impossible. Yeah.
So many boobies on the show, which I think is the beautiful thing about being on a channel like Stars, right? Is so many boobies. I mean, there are scenes with, you know, with 30 women topless. And
that's the tagline for Stars, isn't it?
So many boobies, no. Right? And does that get to the point, and I know you're an actor, but you're also a man, but yeah. Does that get to the point where you show up at work and there are 30 boobies walking around where you just go, another day at the office, or are you ever able to just... around a situation like that.
No, I'm one of those shield your eyes kind of things, guys. And I remember there was one episode which was, I'm pretty sure for the Romans, they just had an orgy. I don't know. That's all they did.
Right.
That's pretty much.
It was very common in those days.
Yeah, I know. That was a huge business model. you know, and so everyone would be, I'd come to the set and check out this orgy. I was like, yeah, no, I'm all right. I'm okay. No, I'm not comfortable walking in and just, you know, oh, right. Yeah, okay.
It is weird. I know you guys are professionals, you're actors, and that's what you do, but you have to, like, look around sometimes and go, what am I doing with my life? What's happening here? This is weird.
Well, I mean, when you've got, like, a sock on, and you look behind you, and there's a guy with a boom mic, and I'm just like, you're going to have a tough day.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we got to take a break right there. Liam McIntyre is in studio. Spartacus Vengeance is the show. It's a huge hit on Stars. Friday nights at 10. Now, you're in the second season right now. You've already been renewed for a third, and we have, what, a couple more episodes left in this season still to air, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Fantastic. More with our guest, Liam McIntyre, right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Beer Mug, how are you feeling about your weigh-in in about 15 minutes now that we've had Liam McIntyre in studio from Spartacus?
Oh, well, I'm not doing Liam's diet, I'll tell you that
You're not
much.
Doing any diet.
Not doing
You're
any
having
diet.
A weigh-in?
Yeah.
Yes, he made a bet with some co-workers, Liam.
You
never
make
he
a
was
bet?
He was going to lose 30 pounds in 3.5 months, but he's doing nothing to try to lose that weight. He thinks he's going to will it away, and it just doesn't work that way.
No, it all comes off in that last week. That's the trick.
I hope so.
All of it.
I hope
Can we get a picture? And I'm riffing now just on the top of my head.
Yeah.
Dave, please bring in the camera. We need a picture of Liam and Beer Mug next to each other with their shirts off. That would be awesome, right? We have to do that.
That's not
Liam,
fair.
Are you down? Would you do it, Liam?
Don't you have it enough in the show?
Don't feel pressured, Liam.
Yeah, no,
that would be awesome.
I don't want to be upset by his amazing physique. That's the thing. I mean, look at this guy, the pecs on this guy.
Thank you.
All right, Spartacus Vengeance, Friday nights on the Stars channel. Yeah. Two new episodes to go. Have you already started filming episode 3, or you got a little bit of a break right? Season 3, you got a little bit of a break right now?
No, I'm about to fly on a plane and go to a boot camp. Hey, lucky me.
Really?
Yeah, a month of doing horrible things.
In New Zealand, you film in New Zealand. How come? Why is the show done there? Just is it great film
really,
community and it's cheap? Is that what it is?
Really lack safety laws. Anything goes. No, I'm not sure. Rob Tappert, who he worked on The Evil Dead back in the day, and he did Xena, Warrior Princess, and all those cool shows. He's just had his operations there for so long, and I guess he's got really great connections. I mean, New Zealand does amazing film, and I think they lean on that heritage to make this show, which kind of feels like a film every time, which is really...
It does. You know, are you glad to be there? Because it's kind of close to home rather than being, you know,
well, yeah,
13 hours away from where your people are?
Yeah, I never thought that I'd get a job close to home because, you know, it's sort of America and England. That's where the big jobs go. And so it was kind of nice to know that it was only a short flight back home. Yeah, no, it was a surprise, but cool. And I feel bad for the Americans that have to schlep, you know, another 8 days.
It's a long ass wait. You know, every year they do a list of where do Americans most want to visit in the world. And Australia is always at the top of our – that's on our wish list. Most of us just don't ever get enough time off to be able to go because it's so damn far.
Well, you guys don't – in Australia we get 4 weeks off a year. You don't get that here.
Do you get it
consecutively? Yeah. Yeah, we just have a month off. See you later. We'll come back in, you know, January.
Oh, that's a sweet deal.
Most people get a week at a time.
Jeez, right, that's too far to go. Let's talk about some of your colleagues on the show.
Please.
So many great actors on Spartacus.
I know, right?
I couldn't believe, by the way, because I had not seen Lucy Lawless in a long time. I know she's been continuously working, but I hadn't seen her in a long time.
Oh.
What deal with the devil did she make to look as good as she does?
To look so smoking hot. I know.
She's
really?
Unbelievable. And she, I mean, how, I mean, no offense, but how old a woman is she? Because she's prancing around, you know, nearly naked most of the time, and you can't believe how hot she is.
I know. She's, I think she's coming on. I think she's around about 40, but she looks like she's 28, you know?
Wow. Gotta be.
You know, it's crazy. It's not fair.
Who do you admire as an actor? Because one thing when you have an ensemble show where everybody's great on it is, you know, you're not immune to going, wow, I can't believe how great these people are and how lucky I am to work in a scene with some of these people. Who like really gets your acting juices flowing when you're working with them?
That's a great expression. I'm gonna check what my acting juices are now. it's a bile duct. Lucy's exceptional. But you kind of expect that, so you know, like it's one of those weird things where I'm like, "Wow, you're so good," but then you know, I knew that. So
wife is somewhat obsessed with Manu, by the way.
Yeah, isn't he great?
He's unbelievable. Are those scars real on him?
Some of them are. Yes, that guy is a tough man.
Yeah, what's that story? Was he like carjacked a lot as a kid, or what happened? Like, how did he get so cut up?
Yeah, I don't know. You better ask. You get him on the show and ask him, and because I know he told me. But I don't remember what it was. He's a monstrous man, isn't he? He's just so.
Yeah, he is.
That's why, you know, talking about taking a shirt off next to each other photo, I'm like, oh.
he's that.
That's my
here.
Equivalent, where I'm like, don't stop with me next to Manu.
I know the ladies, though. The ladies love this show because of all the hunky guys on the program.
That's
I know that.
Not why, really?
It's the
yes,
drama
that's why.
Theme.
The ladies, I'm wondering, is there a
the
huge gay fandom? Because
massive,
of,
yeah.
Really?
Massive.
Tell me about that. I mean, how does that express itself? Do you get a lot of emails or letters or what?
By way of example, I flew over and I did a connecting flight to Sydney and then I flew over to LA and I think every steward was about to tell their husband about me and get a photo with me and the
really
these
like
gentlemen,
they were so happy to see this celebrity on the plane.
Well,
right?
they all sort of jumped up and down and giggled and it was so sweet though. Like you know, it's such a warm and open community. It's so good for the show. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Hey, eyeballs are eyeballs, right?
Yeah,
now,
right. That too.
I'm not trying to be presumptive here, but usually when a guy breaks out from a show like Spartacus Vengeance, the movies come calling. Is that is that something that's happened to you so far? Are you taking meetings?
I'm speaking to a lot of people, but I got a lot more of this cool show to do, so I'm trying to focus on that more than anything. And
you're happy with it. It's a job you're happy to have for a few years.
Well, as a kid, I mean, I'm a big video gaming nerd, and everything I used to do as a kid was like based around Rome or civilizations from ancient times. So like the first movie, basically when I decided I wanted to be an actor it was around the same time Gladiator just came out. And I went, man, why didn't I work this out earlier? That's like the perfect, that's the best role ever. It's like, and here I am literally with pretty close to the job of my dreams as far as not just the fact that I'm acting, but in the job that I would only dream of getting. You know, it's being in Roman times as a gladiator and a freedom fighter. It's amazing.
What is it that appeals to you about that time? Because I think anything that happened before indoor plumbing and hot showers, I go, no, not for me. I don't want to have any part of that. Because this is, I mean, what year are we talking about? When is the show set?
Let's see. He died in 71 BC, so I think we're at 72 BC.
72 BC.
Yeah,
I mean, that's primitive times right there.
Wow. I mean, but that's the thing, though, because they weren't that
no
primitive.
No Xbox, Liam.
All right. Okay. Yeah. No. Good point. I'm out. no, they had you know, had gladiatorial battles, the Xbox of the day.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true. Live theater.
Yeah. I know.
And talk about, I mean, what's fascinating about this is, I mean, the drama. You mentioned the drama and the human relationships between, but I mean, the accident of birth. I mean, to be born a slave versus born a ruler. I mean, that's what happened. And I guess it still does to a certain extent. You still are
still
fortunate.
Classes, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, it is just tragic, man. And it's tough to shift from one group to the other group back then. That's for sure.
Absolutely. But then, you know, that's the thing that I love about this story is when I really sit down and think about what the hell this man, like Spartacus, would have been like, the real one, at the time. I mean, there wasn't really another slave revolution of this, of any note, for 1,000 years. To unite every different race under, you know, because the reports that, well, I mean, there's varying reports from different sources, but they say maybe up to 110,000 people he was commanding at one stage.
Oh my God.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That was probably the biggest standing army of the entire universe, the entire world at that time. I mean, it wasn't as well trained as Roman armies, but that, you know, that kind of thing is mind-boggling to actually be able to do that.
And I love that because it's television, and there are modern sensibilities among your viewers. Even though it's 70 BC, everybody has perfect teeth, perfect hair, perfect skin.
It's still
television.
Well, I think that the one good thing we can establish as fact is that gladiators did have a wonderful dental plan.
And they must have.
I know. And I can't help but always wonder who in the gladiator camp does the hair. I think it's Crixus. I really think he's got a hairdressing degree. But I don't, I'm open to suggestions. Obviously, Gannicus has the long flowing locks, but then my theory is that he doesn't cut hair because he doesn't know how, because he's got long hair. So he lets it grow.
Right.
So I'm still working out, but they are well groomed for slaves.
They certainly are. Mm-hmm. All right, two episodes left in our remaining moments here, Liam. I know that there's many things you cannot give away, but what's the general theme of where we're heading toward the season finale?
Basically, the last two episodes, I don't understand how they filmed them. We've only got a limited amount of time to film these things, and they were so big. You should see some of the set pieces that they've got in store for these next two episodes are so big. They're doing things. I remember reading the paper and going, I wonder what they'll do instead of this. You know, like that sounds great, sure, but that'll never happen. There is so much on the line. There is so much typical Spartacus, twisty, deathy, oh my God, not that person, stuff happening. So, you know, bring a handkeychief as well. So it's
all right.
It's
well, if
be
you're
tough.
Looking for twisty and deathy,
that's an expression.
Put that on the poster.
Yep.
Then you definitely want to check it out Friday nights at 10 on Stars. And we live in a golden age of on demand, and you can catch up on Spartacus Vengeance with, you know, various services, various ways to catch up if you're not quite current yet. But man, it's such a terrific show, and I'm so happy that we got a chance to catch up with you while you're here in America, man.
So
thanks so much for coming
here.
Down.
Thank you.
We enjoyed it. Now take off your shirt. Let's take a picture. It's time for an update on the Beer Mug Weight Challenge.
Beer Mug is so fat, damn, he's so fat. Beer Mug is so fat, that boy's got back. Beer Mug is so fat, he likes smoking doobies. Beer Mug is so fat, he's got mad boobies. Will Beer Mug lose the weight? I think not. Beer Mug's so fat, 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 so fat. Let's find out how much weight Beer Mug lost.
That it'd be easy to say, and I would accept this argument, who cares whether Beer Mug loses weight or not? But I love this so much just because it is indicative of everything about Beer Mug.
Yeah, right? I agree, but this whole segment, this weekly segment, is getting moot.
Because
because you made a bet that you're going to lose 30 pounds in 3 months. So far, you've lost like an eighth of a pound in a month.
No, 3 pounds.
Three pounds in a month.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you only have 27 more pounds to go in 2 months.
Yeah.
My point is, let's just call it a day and move on with our lives and fill this break with something that has a chance of ever happening.
Ralph, it's only a month in. I have 2 months left.
See, this is why we're going to keep doing this, because this is insight into how his brain works.
Or doesn't work.
True. But it's fascinating.
Quit.
It is. It's fascinating because we all know people like Beer Mug who are constantly believing in themselves when they shouldn't.
Yeah.
He has so much energy and enthusiasm, just like for his red carpet interviews, where he's convinced that he's got it.
Yep.
Now
yeah.
I figured it out. Now I'm going to nail it. Now I'm awesome. And his abilities never improve.
He's the Armenian comedian of weight loss.
Hey.
Yes, he's what he is.
So the wager was that Beer Mug needs to lose 30 pounds, and he actually had a little bit over 3 months. I think it was almost 3.5 months that he had to lose 30 pounds. And at that time,
I'll
by
give
the
him
way,
3 years. How about that? You went over 3 months?
At the time, when you got 3.5 months, you go, oh, my God, that's an eternity, right? I can lose 80 pounds in 3 months if I have to. So Beer Mug was so confident that he made a big wager. Now, who did you bet and how much, Mugs?
I bet Dave $100, and I bet Kevin $100, totaling $200.
Yeah. I must have been out sick that day.
Yeah.
Because I absolutely would have been in on this if I had a chance.
You still could come in on it, bro.
Okay.
If you want.
That you'll lose 27 pounds in 2 months?
Yeah.
Is that wager available?
Absolutely.
Can I lay $1 million on it?
Yeah.
I'd like to pay off my house.
So, Bugs, I wasn't here last week. That was my vacation week. But I understand, A, you had lost some weight for the first time in a month. But
yes.
B, you have committed yourself to it by now jogging in place. Is that true? Is
not
that what
jogging
you
in place, yeah. Bean. He runs in place.
I figured out
top speed, knees high.
I figured out a little exercise routine that I enjoy very much. And that is, in fact, running. Knees high in place.
Yeah.
And
he does it for hours on end.
I do it for 30 minutes.
Oh,
and
lies.
I tried to go to keep the fastest pace as possible at the beginning. So, but I kind of have been slipping on that routine, especially this last week.
You've been slacking off on your workout routine?
Just a little.
Wow.
St. Patty's Day rolled along.
So unlike you, Beer
Mug.
But
you had all those days between when you weighed in Tuesday and St. Patty's Day on Saturday. What happened during those days?
Nothing. And I have been.
You did nothing? You didn't even go out and walk?
You didn't
nothing?
Do your laps around your pool in your backyard?
No.
Which makes you sound like a demented puppy?
I did not do that. In fact, I sat on the couch and just pretty much watched TV.
Smoke a lot of dope, did you? Yeah.
You're very committed to the workout. All right, we only have a minute here. We don't have much time at all, but I have to ask. St. Patrick's Day, you brought it up. I know from your tweets that you did drink heavily that night. There was a lot of Jameson happening at your house, as is appropriate for St. Patrick's Day. But what happens to Beer Mug when Beer Mug starts to get a little tipsy?
I start to throw all my inhibitions of what I'm going to eat out the window. I don't care. I was stuffing my face with corned beef and cabbage like it was going out of style.
And it was 2 days of it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Saturday and
that
and Sunday.
Is okay. Likely to be good for your diet or bad for your diet?
Well, we'll find out.
Okay,
we'll
find so what was our last weight?
223.6 is where Beer Mug was last Tuesday. It's time for him to hop on the scale here. 223.6 is where he was. Let's see how he's doing for this week on his way to try to lose 30.
All right, he's climbing on the scale. He's looking down. Can we get a number?
Oh, my God.
Just give us the number.
220.6.
220.6.
No.
3 more pounds?
Are you serious?
There's no one over there to see that, by the way.
Oh, come on over.
That was just him.
Ralph.
It was just him looking down on the other side of the room.
Come be my witness, please.
All right.
3 more pounds?
That without doing anything? So now you're going to do more nothing?
No.
Because it works?
No.
That would put you at 6 pounds, which is a fifth of the way into your bet here. This is amazing.
Was it 220?
220.6.
Wow.
I am stunned.
The body
as
is
are you,
weird.
I'm very stunned. But
here's the thing about weight loss. Let me tell you a little secret. Remember how he was working out for an entire week before the first weigh-in?
And nothing happened.
Here he ate his face off, and he gets the benefit of 3 pounds. Next week is when he's going to pay the price for everything he did the past week.
Maybe so.
I guarantee.
But I'm going to kick my exercise routine into gear here.
No. Beer Mug, now that you've lost all this weight, you can eat whatever you want for the next 7 days.
I think that's what that means. Yeah.
Congratulations.
So I stay corrected. You need to lose 24 pounds in 2 months.
24 pounds. You're
24
right.
Pounds.
Yeah, 24 pounds.
Well, that's doable.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
Exactly.
And 6 pounds in 6 weeks.
You know what?
It's a pound a week. So, in another 8 weeks, you should lose 24, if my math's correct.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Good for you.
Congratulations, Beer Mug. Nice job.
Thank you, Bean.
Lisa, earlier today we had what is already in the Kevin and Bean history books as one of the worst interviews in the history of the show, and that's really saying something. So we sent the tape of me talking to Tyler, the Creator, up to the lab, Ralph, and they've come back with the results. We're going to analyze it together coming up after the top of the hour. How's that?
Ah. I'm just trying to wrap my head around the results from the lab upstairs. I don't know what kind of results could come back. I mean,
well, we're
it's like sending
a
corpse into a doctor and saying, well, what do you think? He's going to get better? And then the doctor says, no, this is a dead body. Get it out of my office. I mean, what could the lab possibly tell us?
I think they're gonna break it down for us and show it where it went wrong, like what the problem was.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to
it's
kind of
biopsy,
revisit.
It's a biopsy, and we're going to learn something.
Yeah, exactly. It's an autopsy is really what it is.
That's what I meant. I meant autopsy.
Okay.
I just may be too close to it. I think now that we've had a couple of hours to simmer with it a little bit, I'm going to be curious to revisit the topic. Coming up right after the top of the hour, then Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us first. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat.
Before I get to Showbiz News, I want to give away some passes to Universal Studios.
Yay!
As you can imagine, one of my favorite places on the planet, not only because of the theme park and the tour, the studio's tour you can take there, but also City Walk, where I do the Hollywood Babylon show every weekend. So if you'd like to go to Universal Studios Hollywood, they're having a very special offer right now, by the way. When you buy a day and you go and you take the tour and you enjoy everything Universal Studios has to offer, you get the rest of 2012 free.
What?
You buy a day, you can go the rest of the year free.
Obviously.
What?
That's ridiculous. That's a deal that's too good to exist.
That really is. It's like someone said, hey, buy this meal and we'll feed you for the rest
right.
of the year. I mean, it's insane, it's right?
Craziness. And studios are the best because when you have, like me, I'm not originally from California, so a lot of my friends from back east and stuff come out to visit, and that's the first place I take them because you can spend the whole day there between the tour and the back lot and the City Walk and everything else they have to offer. So buy a day, get 2012 free, and then you can be one of the first to experience Transformers The Ride in 3D when it opens this coming May. So I recommend you do that. Go to UniversalStudiosHollywood.com for more details. But right now, I'm going to give away a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood. First five callers who get through right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers will each win a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood. Also, Saturday night, by the way, we are doing Hollywood Babylon. Kevin Smith's out of town. He's got a promotional obligation for his new book, Tough S, that just dropped this week. You can pick that up in bookstores. But Patton Oswalt is being kind enough to be my guest host this Saturday night
at
10.
He's the best.
He is the best. I'm a little nervous because Pat and I have been friends for years, but we've never really worked together, and he's kind of a comic genius.
Mm-hmm. He is a comic genius.
I guess I should just be relieved by that fact. I can just sit back and just let him go, and I know the show will be good. The pressure's off me, I guess, because
I am still scarred from seeing him with his shirt off in Young Adult, though.
Yeah, there is that. Seeing him all over my Charlize is a visual that I made.
I hope you're going to bring that up. I hope that's going to be a topic of conversation.
I might show the footage. I might just throw it up on the big screen, and we'll all take a look and break it down. I got a laser pointer, and we can talk about that. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? I don't know if you've been following this Nicolette Sheridan case at all.
Yeah, a little bit.
She was suing ABC and Mark Cherry, the creator of Desperate Housewives, for $6 million for wrongful termination. They killed her character off. She claims it's because she and Cherry had an argument where he smacked her in the head. And there was all kinds of stuff going on. Anyway, it's all over, at least for now, that trial, because the judge pulled the plug and declared a mistrial. Out of the 12 jurors, it was an 8-4 split. Now, because it was a civil case, not a criminal case, she needed 9 jurors to side with her in order to win the case. But because of the split 8-4, the judge declared a mistrial, and now it's all over. But apparently, Nicolette's lawyer said she wants a retrial, which will begin April 19th, where we start all over again. So, $6 million is a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. And look, doesn't this all just boil down to whether he hit her or not? Because if she's just ticked off that she got kicked off the show, they've already established that lots of actors and actresses have been kicked off the show, right?
Yeah, but it's the reason behind it. It was an organic part of the writing process, or was it...
Was it punishment?
Retribution, because, was it punishment on his part to get rid of her and kill her off the show because there was a personal disagreement? So,
how about a little less suing your show and a little more bikini car washes, Nicolette Sheridan?
Yeah, you should get her own show, the Bikini Car Wash Show. Hunger Games, this phenomenon just keeps growing and growing. Deadline.com reporting that Fandango and MovieTickets.com have already pre-sold over 1 million tickets for the movie.
Oh, my God.
Before it even comes out. First weekend, they are now estimating the movie will make between $100 and $125 million.
Stunning.
In pre-sales. That has got to be hard news to swallow for Disney, which announced yesterday that it's planning on putting a $200 million number in the loss column for the film John Carter. Mm-hmm. which cost $250 million to make and another $100 million to publicize.
Wow.
So far, the film's grossed $184 million worldwide.
Which should be great.
Which should be great news. But when you're spending $250 million to make a movie, that's just bad business.
$100 million to publicize a movie,
yeah,
too.
And I was gonna
comment on that aspect of the story, which is there have to have been a lot of people, professional people in the movie business, who knew the movie was a turd, right? Yet they still make the decision to spend hundreds of million dollars to promote it because they think, hey, I know it sucks, but if we can just get people in there that first weekend before the word is out, maybe we'll make some of our money back.
If we can sell the turd, then it doesn't matter whether it's a turd or not. It's all about
how
you sell it.
Good money after bad, I think is the expression, right?
Yeah. And then Disney turns around and they get all tightwaddy with other productions like Lone Ranger and stuff, where they start nickel and dime them and pulling money back because they get nervous when they make something like this. It's not the fault of Gore Verbinski and Johnny Depp making the Lone Ranger that this thing's going to be so horrible.
Right.
So it has a ripple effect that sometimes can be very detrimental to movie makers everywhere. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Chester Pennington of Linkin Park is 63. He looks good for 63.
I don't think that's accurate. That doesn't sound right.
I'm sorry, 36. My dyslexia kicked in there. Cedric Yarbrough from Reno 911 is 39 years old.
Is he an entertainer, Ralph?
Yes. He's Cedric the Entertainer, Pete. That's all he is.
File?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, come on. You kidding me? Alex Kapranos of Franz Ferdinand is 40 years old today. Michael Rapaport from Boston Public and many feature films, including my favorite performance of his was Mighty Aphrodite. You ever see that Woody Allen movie?
Yes, I did.
He plays the boxer who falls in love with Mira Sorvino, the prostitute. Funny movie. 42 years old today. Kathy Ireland is 49. Holly Hunter turns 54 years old. And Spike Lee, the director, turns 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Every morning at 9 o'clock here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are giving you tickets to Red Hot Chili Peppers, their sold-out show upcoming at Staples Center. With that, you are qualified to go into Friday morning's drawing to send you to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Russia, don't you know?
Amazing.
Congratulations to Moises Placentia from Costa Mesa. He is our winner. You'll have another chance to score at noon today, and then again at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. Details at KROQ.com. Earlier today, we may have made a fatal decision to have Tyler, the Creator, on the program.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to give it a shot.
Tyler is, for folks who don't know, he's had some mainstream success. He won a Best New Artist award at the VMAs last year. He's a rapper. He's an actor. He's in a collective, kind of like the Wu-Tang Clan, one of those rap deals with like 10 guys called Odd Future.
Right.
And he's getting ready. He and his crew are getting ready to put a new show called Loiter Squad on the Cartoon Network as part of Adult Swim. And I thought, you know what? He's a little bit out of the mainstream, not somebody we ordinarily might talk to, but I respect what he's trying to do. It might be fun to have him on. Let's see how it goes.
I voted no. I just want to put that out there. Just want to remind everyone of that happened during the meeting.
And why did you vote no, by the way, Ralph?
I thought, not really. Our crowd doesn't seem like it's something that would necessarily appeal to our listenership. I know Adult Swim sort of is in our pocket, but it just seemed like an odd mix, and I thought we'd be better off not doing it.
Well, okay. I had some reservations my own self, but I decided to go ahead and err on the side of, hey, this might be cool, let's do it. And boy, was I wrong. Now, I knew that these guys have potty mouths. Tyler was on with L-Boy, I guess, who's part of our Odd Future as well, to talk about the show. I knew that they have potty mouths. So I started off the interview by suggesting, you know, we're on the radio and you're not used to having to clean up your language for the FCC. Let's see how it went with question one out of the gate. Boys, you going to behave today?
Yeah, we out here, man. Trying not to say any bad words, N-word.
Okay, now at this point I'm thinking, hey, they sound energetic. They sound like they're into it. They understand that we're on the radio. They can't say all the stuff that they normally say. I'm feeling good about the interview at this
point,
right?
I don't understand that entire first sentence.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking as I heard to it. I'm not encouraged because I don't know what he just said, and he sounds way stoned.
So L-Boy is the what he calls the idea man for Odd Future. And I'm curious about that because that sounds like a pretty fun job. Like, what must that be like? So that was my next question. L-Boy, you're the idea man for Odd Future, the rap collective. What does that mean as the idea man? What kind of stuff do you do? What's your job like when you wake up in the morning?
Usually I wake up in the morning, eat some cereal, look at the computer, and just, I don't really come up with ideas. I just sit around and they come to me, you know?
That was enlightening.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Now, you're already not listening at this point. You're flipped over to Big Boy by now, right?
Seriously.
Yes. Except unless Tyler Crater's on Big Boy, too. Then I'm not flipping onto another station.
Now, that's not me in that instance.
No.
Right? It was a legitimate question that gave him the opportunity
to do
something.
You asked him about four questions in that one question. You gave him every opportunity to pick up on something there and run with it.
That's what I thought, because isn't there some responsibility in the guest, the guy who's on the air to promote something? Isn't there some onus on him to try to be a little bit entertaining, a little bit illuminating, a little bit enlightening?
Yes, I agree with you. I'm not blaming you for this one. I blame you for a lot that goes wrong on this show. And this, in particular case, it was not you.
Now, I thought a fair question, since they're on the show to promote their television program on Adult Swim, is, I don't know, tell me a little bit about the show. And that's where this question apparently went wrong. Is there going to be much music on it as well, or just acting?
I mean, you'll see.
You'll see.
Okay. What's the big pause, number one?
Well, they got to collect their thoughts, Lisa. When you're coming up with deep, deep answers like this, you have to, you know, make sure you're in the right mindset.
Again, a fair question. You guys are rappers. Will you be rapping on the show? Is there going to be odd future music, or is it just all sketch comedy? I thought, maybe tell us about the show, right?
And it wasn't so much an answer as it was a thinly veiled threat, I think. You'll see. You'll see. It's like, oh, man, Bean's going to get knifed.
Do they hate Whitey? What's going on here?
I think they do,
but that's besides the point.
They don't know what's on their show.
But they must, right?
Doesn't sound like it.
I will be honest when I tell you that at this point, and it's not a long interview, but I'm already losing patience, and I feel like, all right, let's hit the promotion. Let's get out of this thing, right? By coincidence, they're on the air to promote their TV show. By coincidence, they also have a new record coming out. First one ever available in stores under the name Odd Future. So I thought, surely they'll be excited about that. Let's see what they had to say. Today is the day that the Odd Future, like the official debut CD, comes out. Even though you've had hundreds of tracks in the past, there's actually something people can walk into a store and buy today. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
What's happening?
Yeah.
Look, we've interviewed a lot of people on the show. This doesn't usually happen. What's going wrong?
Too cool for school, man.
Look, is that what it is?
Look, Adult Swim put them up to this, obviously, put together some sort of publicity tour for them. They had no interest in talking to anyone. They don't feel responsible to have to, you know, sell their art or whatever, mm-hmm. and they just think they're too cool for the whole process. No interest.
I was on, but Kevin's lucky. He missed this one. He won't have this as a ding on his permanent
record. I wish
Kevin
had interviewed him instead. That would have been the best interview ever.
But I was on vacation last year when you guys had Snooki on.
Oh, that's right.
And apparently it was one of the worst interviews of all time. How does this rate to the Snooki interview compared to that?
Snooki sounded like Mark Twain in comparison to Tyler, the Creator. Just saying, well, she was interesting, she was hilarious, she was insightful.
Really?
Compared to, yes.
I'm completely over it at this point. I really just want to say goodbye. It might even have been a little abrupt when I finally did pull the plug on the interview, but here's the end. Hey, guys, thanks for coming on. Good luck with the show. Thanks for coming on. Okay, bye-bye now. They wouldn't even say goodbye. They barely said hello. They wouldn't say goodbye.
No.
What's going on?
Again, not your fault. I feel your pain, but really, this you did the best you could given the circumstances, and they would give you nothing.
I'll never stop feeling bad about it, though. That's the thing. I really won't.
Well, he's got to change his name, too, the Creator. Not very creative. Didn't create anything during that interview. He should be the Destroyer.
Yeah, he did actually take away knowledge from the world rather than add to it, I guess. That's an excellent point, Ralph. NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano on the phone. They must have some sort of a breaking news desk in the offseason the way it's been going this week. Andrew, crazy stuff happening, right?
Yeah, it's everything. It's actually even on right now. I mean, we have Hines Ward's press conference live right now on NFL Network. He is retiring after 14 seasons as a Steeler. He's wearing Steeler black and gold. He's doing the horrendous black dress shirt deal under the black suit. Kind of looks like a pit boss, but he is going out in Steeler style today.
Is that a surprise that he's leaving?
No, not really. I mean, they cut him a couple of weeks ago. It was a money move, but also really a move, I think, because he was just getting up there. He struggled most of the season to get free from coverage. 14th season, he had exactly 1,000 catches. So it's a nice round number. He's doing the crying thing. I don't want to play for any other team other than the Steelers. Saying all the right things. So good for him today.
And he's an absolute Hall of Famer, right?
See, there's where the debate is, because the hall has not been kind in the last, really, 15 years. If you want to go back to Art Monk, who, when he left the league, had more catches than anyone who ever played the game, but had to wait years and years and years to get in, and whether it's Chris Carter or Andre Reed, the wide receivers, for some reason, and part of the reason is the game has changed and we throw the ball so much now, they don't get... I don't want to say they don't get the respect, but they're not certainly getting into the hall, so he may have to wait a while. What separates him from other guys is his blocking. You can argue he's the best blocking wide receiver to ever play the game.
And one of the best NFL stars to ever go on Dancing with the Stars, too.
Yeah,
I don't know if that counts for or against him to get into the hall.
I see, I've never really watched the show.
Right.
So you guys would have... I mean, he won, right?
I think he did, or if he didn't, he was down to the finals. Lisa, do you remember?
I don't remember, honestly.
He won.
He might have. I mean, he might have, yeah. All right, let's turn our attention to quarterbacks because that's where it's at this week. I mean, look, we found out a couple of weeks ago at the Teary press conference that Peyton was going to wear another uniform besides the blue and white, which we all anticipated he would retire a Colt, but no. Were these teams crazy to all go after him and pay the kind of money he commands? He is still a giant question mark, isn't he?
He is, but most of them all saw him work out and were impressed enough or they saw enough to believe that given a couple of more weeks or a couple of more months, he will be fine come the start of the season. He's Peyton Manning. See, like when Michael Jordan left the Bulls and came back, and we're talking the second time, and when he ended up in Washington, he couldn't play anymore. His knee was gone. He was bigger. He was older. He had no game left. That was a money play to get ownership and to get a management stake in the Wizards. This is Peyton Manning, who 2 years ago was still at the top of his game. Maybe not the ultimate top of his game, but still one of the top 2-3 quarterbacks in football. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer. There is no debate there. He has taken two teams to the Super Bowl. He is a 4-time MVP. He is Peyton Manning, and you blow up whatever you have to get him, unless you're Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the Packers with Aaron Rodgers or the Patriots with Tom Brady or the Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger or the Saints with Drew Brees. Unless you're one of those teams, you go do it. And now you have, our Rich Eisen coined it, a bloodless coup, in essence, to get Tim Tebow out in Denver. Because deep down inside, John Elway in Denver knew, and he knows quarterbacks, that this Tim Tebow thing wasn't going to last, and this is the ultimate way to do it.
You're right, and before we talk about where Tebow's likely to end up, everything you say about Peyton Manning is true. I can't argue with a word of it. He's 36 years old.
Yeah, I know. Look, there's a gamble here. And
I mean, look, there was a lot of talk in my town in Seattle. We needed a quarterback. A lot of people were very hurt that Peyton Manning wouldn't even meet with us for whatever reason. But then others were saying, look, I'm so happy we signed Matt Flynn. He's an unknown also, but at least he's 26 years old.
Right. And listen, there are a lot of people whose feelings were hurt with this. I mean, imagine Alex Smith last year with the 49ers. A couple of weeks ago, they offered him a very nice deal, $8 million a year, kind of exactly what he's worth. Most people believe 2 years ago they're ready to run him out of town for the third straight year. Then new coach, 13-3, a fumble away from the Super Bowl, all that. But they went out and danced with Peyton Manning. It's the, honey, there's a supermodel in the room deal. And I'm going to talk to her. I still love you.
Right.
I'm going to go try. She's going to throw a glass of wine in my face. But if she doesn't.
That's right. If she doesn't,
you go home with her?
You at least got to give me enough rope to try, at least to talk to her.
Come on, let me at least go take a shot. I still love you.
Right? You really brought into incredibly sharp focus with your tweet. In just 140 characters yesterday, Andrew, you pointed out that it was 71 days ago, I think you said, that Tim Tebow was the toast of the sports world with that comeback against, coincidentally, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who we were just talking about. He was on top of the world. Denver fans would have signed him to a lifetime deal
feel after that game, in the throes of Tebow mania? How did it all go so wrong so fast for him? I guess the answer is because Peyton Manning became available.
Listen, Tim Tebow deserves all the credit in the world. That team was 1-4. They were on the verge of death for the season. They had one playoff win since John Elway had retired, 13 years ago? They were nowhere. They put Tim Tebow in. The fans wanted him. They put up billboards. And Tebow, through a lot of his late-game magic and three-quarters of ineptitude, and the defense played exceedingly well, took that team on a six-game winning streak. They made the playoffs. Granted, they tripped into the playoffs. They lost their last couple of games and went in at 8-8, but they pulled out that somewhat miraculous victory over the Steelers, the only one-and-done overtime game in NFL history. One play, thank you and good night. Mm-hmm. And he was on top of the world. But John Elway knew. I mean, listen to John Elway's comments during this season. He knew it pained him. It pained him to praise Tebow because he knew deep down inside that this can't last. You can't win like this for a prolonged period of time in the NFL.
No,
like,
you need a foundation.
Wrong. Maybe you need can win like this over a prolonged period of time. But when Peyton Manning became available, and look, Elway gets credit here as well for whining and dining Peyton and relating to him as only a future Hall of Fame quarterback can, as a guy who also came back from injury at 36 to continue his career at a Hall of Fame level. And they connected. And John Fox, the coach here, who took a team to the Super Bowl in Carolina, the Broncos coach, those guys connected. But the Niners are a better fit. The Niners are a better team. He takes the Niners to the verge of the Super Bowl faster, I think, than he does the Broncos. But, you know, our Marshall Faulk has said repeatedly, and he knows Peyton well, that, I mean, to the point where one of Peyton's kids is named Marshall.
Wow, that's an endorsement.
That Peyton didn't want to be in the NFC. Eli's in the NFC. If they're going to play each other, it's going to be in the Super Bowl, not in the NFC Championship game. So the fact that he went as far down the road with the Niners surprises a lot of people. The Niners are a better fit for him, I think, personally. That team is there. They won 13 games last year. They're a better team overall than this Broncos team. But he didn't go there.
It's the voice of Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, of course, Total Access, Monday through Thursday at 4. Let's talk about Tebow for just one more minute in our remaining moments, and that is he owed a lot of his success to the rest of the guys that played on the Broncos around him. What is going to be a good fit for him as he starts interviewing teams this week?
No one knows, and we think he's going to get traded. We don't think they're going to just cut him. So it's what can Denver get for him, and it's likely a late-round pick. I mean, you're probably not going to get more than a fifth, maybe, as shocking as that sounds.
Wants to play?
He wants to play in Florida, most guess. You know, he's from the Jacksonville area. He obviously was a Florida Gator. He's still somewhat of a rock star down there and probably will be for the rest of his life. The new Jacksonville owner, is on record as saying that if he had owned the team when Tebow had come out in the draft, that he would have taken him undoubtedly simply to fill the seats. But you drafted a first-round quarterback last year in Jacksonville, and you signed Chad Henne, the former Dolphin. So, you know, people doubt that he can be a starting quarterback every day in a traditional offense. So if you bring him in, you have to change everything that you do, much like the Broncos did. And the Dolphins have a brand-new head coach, the guy coming over from Green Bay, Joe Philbin, who runs that kind of system. He doesn't fit into that. You know, I've heard crazy ideas like the Patriots. They liked him coming out. But if he goes to the Patriots, then he would be
sit on the bench.
He'd be the trick guy. He'd be the gadget guy. He'd come in and run all the crazy trick plays. He'd be the change of pace guy that gives Bill Belichick the extra weapon to prove that he's smarter than you.
Well, any word on what Jesus thinks? Where's he leaning? Do we know?
I don't follow him on Twitter. So I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's very exciting times. I mean, it's weird. We always used to joke that the NFL Network would have time filling up all the space after the Super Bowl and back in the day, the Pro Bowl. But it seems like you guys are as busy now as you are in the playoffs. There's so much going on.
We have live coverage throughout the day. And if you're on the West Coast, Peyton press conference is at noon our time.
Andrew Siciliano, as always, man, you're the best. Thanks for your thoughts.
Love you guys.
Oh, if we could interview the Black Keys and Tyler, the Creator, and Snooki all at the same time.
Yes, and the Cardigans.
Let's
hope they make a super group.
That'd be the best. I love that so much. Welcome to the Kevin Abid Show here on a Tuesday. Ralph Garman joins us for our final look at the showbiz beat here on K-Rock. What's going on?
Then Buzz Aldrin, then the guy who has all the satellite dishes. Let's just get them all in one room.
Thank you for reminding me. We have to call my satellite buddy this week because Kevin's out.
No, we're not doing that.
Let's call my satellite guy.
Not happening.
No.
What was his name? What was the guy with all the satellites?
Oh, Darren, if you don't remember.
I think it was Radio Death was his name.
I went to visit him in West Virginia. Do you remember?
Yes.
Yes.
I went to his home and took him out to dinner.
And you can't remember his name. That's how fascinating he is.
That's how boring he is. It won't stick.
It's been a number of years. I want to see if he's still alive and if he's still living with his mom and if he still has all those satellites in front of his
trailer. They're all dead. And the satellites have all come crashing down.
Al Jessup is his name. Al Jessup. We're going to call Al Jessup tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for reminding me.
No
way.
No, it's not going to happen.
I'm so excited.
It's not going to happen. Don't be excited.
What? No.
No, we are. We're going to. Al Jessup. Al Jessup.
Don't be excited like I am for Batman Live. People asking me for details about the crime-fighting arena spectacular that's coming to town. Started in the UK. Got rave reviews. People are loving it. And Batman fans everywhere have been emailing me and saying, what's this thing you're talking about? This Batman Live show. I don't know anything about it. Well, it's coming to the Honda Center and the Staples Center. For just 8 performances at each venue, September 5th through the 9th at the Honda Center, and then Staples Center, September 27th through the 30th. Tickets go on sale this Friday. You can go to Ticketmaster.com or BatmanLive.com for more details. And that's just, I'm not getting anything for that. I'm just letting you know, giving the heads up, because people are out there asking me what's going on. I'm telling you.
We believe you, Ralph. We're excited about that.
I have my people. I have my geeks, and they need news. And now they have it. This is going to suck.
Right.
Lifetime announced a new TV movie version of the 1989 film Steel Magnolias.
That's a classic. Don't touch that.
Yes, that's it, Lisa. Where's the outrage now?
I love that movie.
But can I play the part of Kevin who's not here to say nobody remembers it or watches it? That movie is so old.
But here's the, can I play the part of Ralph who says it exists on DVD? It's not like it's lost for the all future generations because every nitrate print of it burnt up in some vault fire.
But what I'm
we've
saying
never lived
is,
in a time where it's easier to see original films. You can Netflix it, you can find it online, it's probably on YouTube. If you want to see Steel Magnolias, it's right there for you.
But the point is that people aren't. And if there's a great story or great characters there, maybe they will make the transition to television and people, a whole new generation of people will be able to enjoy it.
All you need to know is Queen Latifah will star.
Well, now I'm out.
Oh, no. It's all new generation. They get to witness the magic that is Queen Latifah. F everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Oprah Winfrey had a big get this week. Lady Gaga interview, sitting down with Oprah Winfrey. Seems to me if Oprah Winfrey wanted to interview people and have a TV talk show, she could have just stayed where she was.
Yeah. What's
now she has
here?
Moved herself to a network that no one watches and no one sees her interviews.
I think it wasn't enough for her to own her own show. She needed to own the network that the show was on.
Is that just greed or is it hubris or is it pride or where did that come from?
Don't know. It's always got to be more and bigger.
If she was going to quit that, she'd go off and do something else, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Build more African schools or whatever she wanted to do with the rest of her life and leave that part behind. Seems like she's just doing the same stuff.
Yeah.
Looks like she's working just as hard for about a millionth of the audience.
Yeah. Anyway, interviews Lady Gaga this week. Some startling revelations. Oprah's own network claims. Lady Gaga says she wants kids.
What?
Lady Gaga says she wants a husband.
That is shocking.
That is shocking.
Well, she needs to stop wearing a lobster on her head then.
Apparently, Oprah also talks to Lady Gaga's mom, Cynthia Germanotta, who admits after seeing her one of her daughter's first performances, she thought her daughter had a screw loose in her head. That explains it. She's got some. She's got a screw in her head. That's why she's so crazy.
I think it might just be an expression.
Oh, never mind. You can see the whole conversation on Sunday night on OWN, if you can find OWN.
Instead of on every TV channel in the world at 3 p.m. like it used to be.
Like it used to be, yeah. Television success, on the other hand. Your name is The Walking Dead.
Yes.
No kidding.
Oh, the finale was awesome.
Finale pulled in 9 million viewers. On Sunday night, almost beating all the regular broadcast outlets. Only CBS bested it with almost $10 million viewers for its evening shows. Walking Dead now ranks as the number one drama series in cable history, as well as number three in the most watched basic cable telecast ever, only behind the finale of Monk and an episode of The Closer. But The Walking Dead, wildly, wildly successful.
We're finally at the point now where people just watch whatever channel the show is on. Doesn't have to be a network. Doesn't matter how
except
small the
channel is. Unless OWN.
Unless it's Oprah.
Yeah.
How jacked are you for the return of Mad Men?
Oh,
2-hour season premiere Monday night on AMC. I can't wait.
Is that a yes?
Yeah, it is.
I don't know what
you
that
were
was.
You were out of town, being no, you weren't. You were nursing a screwed up shoulder, but you were on vacation, and I went to the Madman Paleyfest evening.
Oh, how was that?
Amazing evening.
Was everyone there?
Everyone was there except for Christina Hendricks, and what's the unattractive one's name?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we know who you're talking about.
Yeah, she was the daughter on West Wing. Elizabeth Moss.
Thank you. Yes. I would never have come up with that name.
Elizabeth Moss. They both had prior commitments, but everyone else was there. And it was fascinating to hear them talk about that show. And Matthew Weiner, by the way, just a genius of a guy. I could listen to him talk all night. But everyone had a good time, and it was fascinating. But they dropped little tidbits about what's coming on in the next season. And I'm telling you, I couldn't be more excited.
Excellent. I hear that word got out that there was a Dusty Springfield song in the episode this Sunday night. And it turned out that that song wasn't released until 6 months after the time period in that episode.
Oh, so snap.
So they went and pulled it and replaced it with another song with, you know, hey, thanks for pointing that out. We strive to be as authentic as possible in every detail of this show. So if that song wasn't available to them, it's not available to us.
Matthew Weiner did a fascinating answered a fascinating question about historical accuracy versus literal accuracy, if that makes any sense. It's like what we think of as being the big issues of the time in the time period this show is taking place is skewed by the historical significance that's put on
right,
certain elements.
By our view
absolutely.
Looking backwards.
So people are saying to them, why aren't they reacting to the Watts riots, for example, in Los Angeles, one of the most significant civil rights moments in the 60s? And Matthew Weiner said, we thought about that, then we looked at it, and the New York Times didn't carry the story about the Watts riots until 3 days after it happened. It was almost a footnote.
Just a blip.
At the time, it wasn't that significant. Now you put on the significance on it after the fact. He said, we can't do that. We can't look at that time period through the eyes of modern day history. We have to try to live those characters in the time period they lived in.
Especially rich white advertising executives on Madison Avenue in New York.
No concern.
Couldn't have given a rat's ass about the Watts riots.
No concern about civil rights whatsoever. And, you know, you'll see other preliminary characters, you know, the ancillary characters sort of bleeding into their lives, like Elizabeth Moss's character and others. But yeah, you know.
But I do love that the big things like the JFK assassination or Beatlemania, those have to be addressed and are on that show. They don't miss much.
I know. It's going to be good stuff. Today's celebrity birthday, Spike Lee is 55 years old today. Holly Hunter is 54. Kathy Ireland, supermodel who Forbes magazine said is the most successful ever. Michael Rapaport celebrates his 42nd birthday. Alex Kapranos of Franz Ferdinand is 40. Chester Bennington of Linkin Park turns 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Big show tomorrow planned for the Kevin and Bean program here, including our friend Adam Carolla, who's going to be joining us. We've got a real live Oscar winner on the show tomorrow. Jim Rash is going to be in studio with us tomorrow.
Oh.
Hey!
No, it's exciting.
He's the DM community.
Yeah, it's exciting.
He knows your boyfriend, George Clooney. He co-wrote the Descendants movie and won an Oscar for it. Come on with the come on.
I know.
Why aren't you more excited about him?
Because I think Oscar winner, I think Charlize Theron. I'm sorry. That's where my mind goes automatically.
I'm very excited. I hope Mr. Rash will be bringing his Academy Award with him tomorrow. How about this? How about a little actress named Sarah Shahi? Who's going
to That's what I'm talking about.
There you go.
Fairly Legal back.
We have a beer mug red carpet interview that we have not had time for, and I think tomorrow is the day. Speaking of Academy Awards, tomorrow is the day where Beer Mug grills Oscar winner Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
What now?
I'm just saying.
How much was cut out of the movie, or was everything kept in?
And you know that Richard Dreyfuss is cranky now, right? Yeah, you know he's an old cranky man, and he's an Academy Award winner and a legend, and he's been in dozens of hit movies. He has no time for Beer Mug's nonsense at all, and it's hilarious.
I think that's how Beer Mug lost 3 pounds. I think Richard Dreyfuss scared that much poop out of him during the interview.
Also, it's been a while. We'll play Chloe versus Snooki, the Twitter game, on tomorrow's program. And Lisa May suggested a great phone topic, Ralph, that I think you're going to like very much, which is car sex gone wrong.
Oh, my goodness.
Which it often does.
Disastrous
makes me think
car
of
sex.
That's exactly what I said. Yeah.
That is one example. So all of that tomorrow right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. See you then.